ब्रह्मशुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की समवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति सुपदान्दियं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वती नामिने श्रीवर्षभानविदेवि दैदाय कृपाब्धये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्रीमूर्तये दीनदारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धावसिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोदे पादाम्बुजाय ते नमः नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय गुरुगवराय ते गौराविर्भवभूमे स्वं निर्देष्टा स जनप्रिया वैष्णवा सर्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महाबलन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषये नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकं हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्द कान्द नमोऽस्तु ते मन्दमदीर्घदी मत्सर्वस्वदाम्भोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्द्रत्नागरसिंहासनस्थौ श्री श्रीराधा शीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भि वंशीवटतटस्थिता कृषन्वेणुस्वनेर्गोभिर्गोपीनाथाश्रिये स्तु नाः तप्तगाञ्जन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुपुरे देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिदां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवति अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम् नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे कुलारविन्दाय तवत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावोदोग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवगी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं विष्णुद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गन्धारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण महनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवा पाराशर्यवजस्सरोजमलं गीतार्थगन्धोल्कटं नानाख्यानगकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैर्हरः प्रेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुद स्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैर्सङ्गपदैर्क्रमा उपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदुसुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
So, we have started the 17th chapter, which is called Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Mainly, the topic of discussion is Shraddha. What does Shraddha mean? It's a very difficult thing generally because Shraddha has no equivalent translation in English. Shraddha, that is the difficulty. The attention is the word given to Shraddha, isn't it? But if you understand Shraddha properly, then you will know that that word is not attention. Attention is with the mind. Shraddha is not with the mind. That's where the problem is. Shraddha generally, attention. You give us your attention, you say. Attention is always with the mind, isn't it? Mind, intelligence, this is what attention is all about. But Shraddha is not attention. Shraddha is different. We'll come to that, what it means. So, we were talking about this last Sunday, that as long as we have this strong identification, which means that
we all have somewhere, which I talked about, we mentioned that as Mula Vidya. Mula Vidya means very basic ignorance in us. And as much as this basic ignorance is there very strongly inside, whatever we do on the surface to modify our swabhavam or our character, it won't work. Because the basic ignorance is rooted very strongly in the identification where we have. This is the realization of the rishis. Rishis are telling us that if you are deeply identified with something very strongly, say for example, a man, a woman, brahmana, kshatriya, king, pauper, prime minister, president, whichever way it is, that if you are strongly rooted there, then anything what you change on the surface in your nature, it will not have much effect on you, because your that deep-rooted ignorance in us, primary ignorance or basic ignorance, which is known as Mula Vidya, is the cause of the problem. That so wherever our identification is, with whomever or whatever idea it is, and that is very strong, that is very, very strong in us, that is very strong in us. So, we will say we are not crazy. We will say we are not crazy. But in the eyes of the realized souls, we are all crazy people. You know that. That we are all crazy. I mean, we say we are not. But from their point of view, they'll say we are all crazy people. Remember I gave that example about Hasamalaga's situations. Hasamalaga was only about 8 or 10 years old, somewhere around that. By like Jadabharata, he wouldn't speak to anybody from birth. And they tried very hard to educate him. So much they tried that finally they got frustrated and gave up doing anything to him. He was probably a little younger than that. And he hasn't spoken one word since he was born. And parents brought him up with great happiness, their son. They brought him up very well and tried to teach him, educate him from the Vedam. That was the system then. Vedam, educating Vedas were the education for them. But couldn't do anything. Not only that, he was not engaged in any kind of vyavaharam. No way he was, they could pull him into the world. They could pull him into this world. But his eyes were always open. Always kept his eyes open, but he is not seeing anything. He is not saying anything. Because he had no vyavaharam, no, there was no ragadvesham. And there was no kamam krodham because of that. It is from vyavaharam all these things comes. Which one? Ragadvesham, kamam krodham, all these things. So their parents were thinking that what should we do with him? Take him to a doctor, Ayurvedic doctor at that time. And the Ayurvedic doctor looked at him and he said, there is nothing I can do, there is nothing wrong with him. All his body is functioning properly. All the organs in the body, everything seems to be okay. But I can't treat him for anything. So ultimately when they couldn't do anything about it, naturally what you will do in situations like that, when some spiritual personality comes, you take him to him and ask him for help, because you have done everything what you can within your own control, isn't it? So Acharya Swamiji was passing through that, they brought him to him. Acharya Swamiji saw him and he asked the child, who are you? Kastvam shisho kasya kuto si gandha kim namate tvam kuta agato si etanmayoktam vadachar arbhagatvam malpritaye priti vivardhano si. This is this Acharya Swamiji's question to him. Kastvam shisho kasya kuto si gandha kim namate tvam kuta agato si etanmayoktam vadachar bhagatvam malpritaye priti vivardhano si. He says to him that when I see you, I feel great happiness by seeing you. He said, who are you? He says to him, and what is, who are you? What is your identity? He said,
Do you remember anything about yourself? He says to him. The first time in his life, something made sense to him in life. Somebody asking a question like this. Till then, the parents were talking all related to the body. And this personality was already completely absorbed in the spiritual identity. It made sense to him. Somebody was asking this question, who are you? Kastum shisho, kasya kutosi gandha, where have you come from? Kim namate tvam, what's your name? Kuta agadosi, where are you going to? Etan mayo uktam vada cha arbhagatvam. Could you please give me a reply for what I am asking? And he says, the reply was also equally very profound. He says to him, Naham manushyo, najadeva yakshav, na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudraha, na brahmajari, na grihi vanastho, bhikshurna chaham nijabodharupaha. This was his answer. Naham manushyo, najadeva yakshav, I am not a human body. I am not a demigod. I am not a yaksha. I am not a brahmana kshatriya vaishya or a shudra. I am not a brahmajari, grihastha, vanaprastham, or bichurna cha aham, not a sannyasi. Then what am I? Nijabodharupam, I am pure consciousness. This was his reply. Very intelligent reply coming from a 4-year-old child. Imagine that. That he is saying like this to him, that nijabodharupam, I am pure consciousness. And that means that I am Atma, I am soul, who has no birth, who has no death. And nimittam manas chakshuradi pravurto nirastagila vadika akashakalpam revir loka cheshta nimittam yathaya sanityo baladhi surupoham alma. Again he says to him, nimittam manas chakshuradi pravurto, that I am the cause of all the function, the cause of for the function of all my mind, intelligence, senses, everything. Manas chakshuradi pravurtau nimittam, I am the cause of that. Nirastagilo ubhadi akashakalpam, that if you take me out and I am like the space, pure consciousness spread everywhere. Nityo baladdi sarubam atma, and so nityo baladdi sarubam atma. He says here that I have mentioned that I am atma, I am soul. But we don't have that experience today. That's what is making the difference, isn't it? So that is why, therefore, he is saying, Nityobalabdi Swarubaham Atma, I am pure consciousness. And that experience, we don't have it today. None of us have it today. And that is why realized soul says, you are all crazy. We are all mad. There is something wrong with us. That's how they say. There's something wrong with us, not with them. Not with them. what is that wrong? What is wrong with us? Wrong with us because whatever I'm talking now in my present state, it's all nonsense as far as they are concerned. It's all nonsense. They don't give any value to it. Nityobalabdhi swarupoham atma. I have to remember that line. Nityobalabdhi swarupoham atma. That's my identity. I am not only soul, it's always I am in that state, nityam, permanently. It's available to me and that is my swarupam. I am never moved away from my identity as the soul. Nityobalabdhi swarupoham atma. He said like that. So, whatever I am talking about is all mad. It's all crazy things. Whatever I'm talking about is all crazy things. Remember that story I mentioned? That when Nehru was there in Lahore, there was a hospital. Nehru went to, that time, undivided India it was. Nehru went there to inaugurate the hospital. Those days were such that when he went there, one person was in the hospital. He said, he asked Nehru, who are you in this mental hospital? So Nehru said, I'm Nehru. He said, Jawaharlal Nehru, I said. So this mad person says to him, because Nehru was very popular at that time, so a lot of people were adoring him and trying to dress like him and think like him in that way. So when Nehru went there, he says to ask him, who are you, Nehru? He said, I am Jawaharlal Nehru. He says, yeah, I am also Jawaharlal Nehru. I used to think like that, but now I got cured, he said. You will also get cured very soon, he says to him, to Jawaharlal Nehru. So we are saying like that. Actually, when we say that, it's ajnanam, it is avidya. Like if we call by ourselves a name and identification with this body. So this problem that we have, all of us have, which is our moola avidya, that is the cause of all our distress also. That you have to understand why it is. That means I have somehow the idea stuck there, which is not my nature, which is not my identity. Nityobalabdhi swarubaham atma. I am pure consciousness. But I am stuck in this identity as the body, with the body. Jati, niti, kulam, gotra, duragam. All of this, jati, niti, kulam, gotram, all of this, bhavaya, atmani. That means pure consciousness where I have no identity with any of these things. Till that experience comes to us, that none of these identities exist in me, till that experience comes to us, you have to take it that we are crazy. The madness is in us. And ajnanam is there, avidya is there, and then madness, vibhrandi, is there. So this ajnanam or avidya needs to be treated. It needs to be treated. And as long as this ajnanam is inside or avidya is inside, we cannot perform any of the dharmam in a perfect way. It is not possible. Dharmam cannot be performed perfectly. For example, as long as we have this mind inside us, we will give trouble to ourselves and give trouble to others as well. As long as we have a mind. Mind means, if you have a mind, it means that simultaneously you have false ego also, ahankaram inside. So because ahankaram is there, I will give trouble to me, first of all. And not only that, because of that, I will have kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Because of ahankaram only, kartrutva bhoktrutvam comes, isn't it? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, comes from this false ego, And when that comes, what it does is, ragadvesham will come from that. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam, or ownership, or I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, must bring ragam and dvesham. It is a very subtle thing, all these things. You can only discuss about it, but to analyze it, how the rishis have spoken about it, he said, you are not cured from your madness till all these things have gone away from you. You are a crazy person. That's what they are telling us. We are all crazy because we have this ragam dvesham, kartrutvam bhoktrutvam, ahankaram inside, and therefore it will never go. And so long as you have this ragadvesham, because of that kamam krodham, because of kartrutva bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham, kamam krodham follows with that, I will have demonic nature as well as in me. Demonic nature will be there in a person. So, therefore, if I try to enjoy anything in this life, or I try to experience or enjoy any object in this world, I will destroy that object one day or the other, and I will destroy myself. That object can be a person or can be a product, something else. So, anything what you try to enjoy in this world, after a while it will get destroyed, and in the process I will also get destroyed. This is all the problem related to this kartrutva bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham, kamam, krodham, all centered around false ego or ahankaram. You cannot remove all these things straight away. It is not possible. Because till that knowledge comes in and realization happens inside, at the moment the knowledge hasn't come and I want to engage in vyavaharam in this world, isn't it? Vyavaharam is a part of, that is our material life means. So what can be done? Because I have to work in such a way as much as possible that with this mind it does not create much of a distress for me and much of a distress to others. In such a way, I have to conduct the vyavaharam in this world so that I do not create a lot of disturbance to me and I do not create disturbance to others. If you can, that means it does not create any serious damage to myself, and my disturbance in my mind does not spread out to others and cause problems to them. If you want that to happen, you have to live within a track. That is the purpose. That is why the Vedic culture is insisting that you have to have a disciplined sadhana in life. For this reason only. You can see the logic behind it. Suppose you have no disciplined life, haywire, doing all sorts of things, running here, running there, mind is all over. If you live like that, in that process, ahankaram will be there. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer will be there. Ragadvesham will be there. Kamam, krodham will be there. You will disturb yourself and you will disturb others as well. In order that we don't fall into that net, Vedic literature, rishis also tells us that you have to have your life in a track, always in a track. A disciplined life, always lying, living within that track. So therefore, I should travel within that track, I should stay within that track. And that track is what Vedam has created for us in the form of nishta. That's what is called nishta. Nishta means that steadiness in life. Nishta. So, and they created in such a way, they have created from getting up in the morning right up to the night till you go to bed, they tell you what you should do and they don't go out of it. Live within that. Because, therefore, if you do that, let the world don't have any problem from you. That you don't create trouble for others because of, for that purpose they have created that. So that you don't go and do things and create trouble in the world for others. That was the motive behind it. It was the motive behind it. And and similarly, from your mind, the problem what will create for yourself, that also has to be minimized. Your mind will dictate so many things. Go here, go there, do this, do that. And endlessly it will tell you many, many things. That is the nature of this mind. To make plans to enjoy life, that is the nature of the mind. You can't do anything about it. That is what it is called, the mind. Mind's nature is to always drag you to something or the other. And we helplessly follow that mind, isn't it? Helplessly follow that mind. Particularly to enjoy going to film, watching television or gossiping and things like that. So, this is what Krishna is referring to there. It is, that is all implied in that word Krishna used. Which one? Iti shastra vidhi mul srijya vartade kamakaragad. If you look into the last chapter, you will see. See, Arjuna's question is very important there. That when Krishna stressed on this shastra vidhi, see that? Iti shastra vidhi mul srijya, 23rd verse, last chapter. To understand Shraddha, you have to understand these verses properly. Otherwise, you won't appreciate the word Shraddha. You will just take it like the English word attention and leave it there. That's not what Shraddha means. Shraddha is a lot more than that. Krishna, the depth of that word Shraddha, if you want to understand, you have to understand this, connect with these two verses. Yat Shastra Vidhimul Srajya. Krishna is saying, Yat Shastra Vidhimul Srajya. If you don't follow the Shastram, Shastra means what? This track Shastram has laid out for us. If you don't follow that, Krishna is saying, Vartade Kamakarakad. You will do, go and do what you like. You will just do what you like. That's what will happen. Is it not? Vartade Kamakarakad. Because Kamam, where does it come from? The mind.
Mind will tell you, go and do this, enjoy this, go on holiday here, go on holiday there, and make money here, make a lot of money, so that you can live happily thereafter, start your spiritual life. All these kind of strange ideas will come to us from the mind. That's what he's saying there. Ye shastra vidhi mul srajya vartade kamakaraga. Kamakaraga means the desires, that is vasanas inside us, that will start working. So Krishna says there that, so therefore the principle was, traditionally the principle was, what is spoken in the Vedam, everybody do not know. Everyone don't know what is written in the Vedam, isn't it? So many people, what they did was, we don't know what is written in the Vedam. Whole Vedic injunctions to study and understand it is, whole life is not sufficient. And an average person living in this world, it is difficult for him to study the whole Vedic literature and to grasp the message correctly, isn't it? But they learned one thing, that from early hours in the morning, when you wake up, if you start chanting the holy name and engage in the worship, deity worship, or go into some temples and associate with the temple activities, if you do all that, Shastram says that is your, you'll stay within the track. A track they have laid out like this. That is why so many temples were built for this purpose. That people go there, and so that you don't go get up in the morning and switch on the telly and start watching all the rubbish, what is there, and completely disturb your mind and destroy others and give trouble to yourself. Or mind can tell you so many other things to do in the mind. Mind will engage in. So that is why this nishtha or anushtanam was given by the Shastram. By the Shastram. people will ask, why all these things? Why do you bind us with all the rules and regulations, isn't it? This doubt comes to all those who are doing, engaged in spiritual life. Those who are performing sadhana, I'm talking about. Those who do sadhana in life, they all get this doubt in their mind. Oh, I have been doing it for so many years. 30, 40 years I've chanted this holy name. Where am I now? What has happened to me? And I've been doing it for so long, and then one day they get tired. They said, I didn't get anything. I'm finished now. I didn't get anything. So somebody asks you that, why are you doing this every morning, spending so many hours doing this, doing chanting the holy name, reading Bhagavatam, or engaged in deity worship, or going to the temple, listening to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, all these things. What for? What did you get from that? They will ask. So the answer is, every day I'm doing it, it's a whole year, isn't it? It's every day, every day. There is no Saturday, Sunday there. We haven't introduced that yet. One day somebody will decide that weekends we don't need to do devotional service. It's only during the week, but it hasn't started yet. So what it is that, the Shastram is saying, Shastram never tells us anything like that. Shastram is saying to us that you're going for all these programs, associating with them, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. What did you get from that? People who don't do any of these things, they will ask that question. Why are you doing all these things? The answer is, they will ask the question, what did you get from all these things? What do you get from all these things? The answer for that is, I have to do this because if I don't do it, I'll get something. That's how you have to, that clarity must be there within us. If somebody asks the question that, why do you chant, waste 2 hours chanting the holy name in the morning? Why you get up so early? Why you bathe so early in the morning? Or why you are reading Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning? Or going for satsangam or deity worship or whatever? People spend the time like that. They ask you this question, what do you get by doing all that? Because as far as they are concerned, it's a waste of time. You're wasting your life. That too, the best time in the day, first 3-4 hours in the morning, you are doing all these things. If you ask the question, everybody asks the question, what do you get from that? The answer for that is, I'm doing all these things so that I don't get anything. Because this getting, I'm frightened about that. What we want is, we don't want to get anything. We don't want to, instead, this little by little,
this getting business has to stop. This getting business has to stop. Because what you have to know is, by getting, you're not going to become totally perfect in life. You will never become perfect by getting things. And that is why you will realize this, that as much as you lose things in life, that you will become perfect. Same example of the deep sleep state. It's from there this concept has come. That in the deep sleep state, when you lose your body, when you lose your mind, when you lose your intelligence, when you lose your false ego, senses, everything, you lost it, isn't it? At that time, you are getting it. Something which is, you didn't get it by working. Rather, it has come to you. Why? It came, it was revealed to you by the grace of Krishna's grace, that Sushupti time, that you enjoy the best happiness in life, without undisturbed. And it is always equal and the same. So, so this is called Viparita Jnanam in Shastram. Viparita Jnanam means, you will only understand this, the subtlety of this, by experiencing it. The more you shed things in this world, the more happiness keeps coming inside. Not by grabbing things in this world. Nobody has become happy by grabbing in this world things. Instead, this principle we have to understand first. That when I go into deep sleep state, when everything I have lost it, including my, there is no home, there is no family, there is no body, there is no mind, nothing. Or I'm completely devoid of everything, I'm experiencing the highest happiness in life. Is it not? And that happiness is, it cannot be explained, because that happiness is not available in this world, in that deep sleep state, what we experience there. Similarly, Vedam says to us, if you want to experience that same shanti or same peace, what you experienced in the deep sleep state, if you want to bring that into the vacant state or to the dream state, you have to follow the same principle, which means giving up, giving up, giving up all the time. All the time moving away from the world, moving away from the world. You have to give up everything before the body gives us up. That is the understanding, that that is called Vairagyam. Vairagyam means that, isn't it? So, but this, the Sushmada, Sushmada means the subtlety of this, only by experience one can understand that. One can understand that. But, more we realize this, by getting something, I'm not going to become perfect and happy in this world. Instead, the more I lose things, that to that extent, I will feel perfection and satisfaction and shanti inside. Krishna says this in the Srimad Bhagavatam in a nice way. That Krishna says, but that is spoken through the story in the Bhagavatam. There you will see there, whomever I like, I take everything from them. Remember? This is what that is referring to. Otherwise, what Krishna wants to take from us anything for? Only for our benefit, isn't it? So when he takes something away, it is the, and that is what Krishna says there, isn't it? Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe tadhanam shane tadho dhanam tejandesa sajanal dukkha dukkhida. That if everything is taken out from a person, Krishna is saying, he will lose everything and he will become very inward looking. He will turn his attention towards me, towards the soul, towards the soul. So, and it is the same thing that Krishna says, whatever I see in them is causing them attachment somewhere and it is bringing them down in life. I will pull it out. I will make them naked. I'll make them naked. In order to show this to us, that is why the gopis' clothes were stolen. Krishna stole the gopis' clothes to prove this principle to us. Because there is attachment to the body, attachment to the clothes, and that is that Vastrabharana Leela. Krishna stealing the gopis' clothes. I don't know what people think about all these things. They think Krishna was very naughty and Krishna was enjoying his life. A lot of people in India also say this, like that. They say about Krishna, Krishna was having a great time doing all these things. Supreme Personality of Godhead is busy with all these kind of things, but they don't understand really that unless we understand philosophical understanding of Krishna's pastimes and everything Krishna has tried to instruct us, that throughout Bhagavatam you will see this. To Mahabali, Krishna said that I'll take away everything from you because this is what's causing problem for you. Let me take it away, you will be all right. You'll become perfect, he said to Mahabali. So, parents, what do they do for the children normally? They buy them food, buy them clothes and things like that. And everything providing them is the parents' job, isn't it? Parents buy and make them, try to make them happy. What does the spiritual master does? He takes away everything. That's the difference between the parents and the spiritual master. So, whatever we have in our name in this world, which we think we are possessing or we have got it here, everything will be taken out and to teach us that none of this is us. We have nothing to do with all these things. And that is what Vamanamurti, Lord Vamanadev did that to Mahabali in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything he took out from Mahabali and he says to him, whatever Mahabali thought it is his, he thought that all the three planetary systems is his. So first took out all the planetary system by two steps, isn't it? And by the third step, Vamanamurti says to Krishna, where do I put my feet? To Mahabali. So Mahabali could understand at that time that this is not an ordinary person who had come. And when that question came up, Mahabali thought, what is left in me? My false ego, isn't it? That I am somebody separate from Krishna. And I was always thinking like that. Because of my separate identity, ego, ahankaram, I thought all this belonged to me. So all the things what I thought it was mine, I handed over first. What's left in me now? That ahankaram. It's that ahankaram in me that mentioned to Vamanamurti that I am the proprietor. You remember that whole conversation between Mahabali and Vamanamurti. Mahabali says to Vamanamurti, you have come to Mahabali, and Mahabali, you should know what you should ask when you come to see Mahabali. All the Krishna is smiling inside. And Vamanamurti said all these things to him. Mahabali said all this to Vamanamurti. Vamanamurti calculated that I need 2-3 steps to get the whole thing back. So in 2 steps he got the earth and the whole planetary systems. But the third step, by now, Vamanamurti didn't have anything else to offer. The ahankaram inside, false ego inside, was saying that all this belonged to me, the three planetary systems. But planetary systems all handed over, what is still left behind is this ahankaram. That also is Mahabali's property. And Vamanamurti told him that, give that to me, he said. So, when he said that, whatever Mahabali thought his property or his assets, Vamanamurti has taken over everything. And then he finally handed over himself, which he thought he is, the ahankaram, false ego. That also he handed over to him. Mahabali says to Vamanamurti at that time, Na asuranam paroksha paramo guru. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see how Mahabali mentions this in the, I think it is in the 8th canto, 22nd chapter. Oh, 8:22 and the 5th verse. See how intelligent Mahabali is. He says, Tvam nunam asuranam na paroksha paramo guru yono aneka madhandhanam vibramsham chakshura dishad. That is that verse. Tvam nunam asuranam na paroksham paramo guru yo yono aneka madha andhanam vibramsham chakshura dishad. Aneka madha andhanam, due to all sorts of ego inside me, Mahabali says, I become blind. Vibramsham chakshura dishad.
I have completely lost my vision. Tvam noonam asuranam na paroksha paramo guru. So he says to him, Tvam noonam asuranam na paroksha paramo guru. He says, you are the you are the spiritual master. He says to Vamanamurthy. Because at that time, when Mahabali was completely stripped off from everything, all the demons who were with Mahabali, there's a list of them, Namula, Illula, Viprachiti, like that mentions there. All of them wanted to fight with Vamanamurthy and get back everything. So what Mahabali says to them is, don't fight now. Because when he gave us all these things, that's how we got it. If Vamanamurthy hasn't given these things, we would have never had it. When he gave everything, you showed both the hands and took it very happily without saying anything. And similarly, he's coming and taking it back, what he has given to us. Give it back in the same way. When he was giving us, you had no problem in taking it from him. Without any complaint, you accepted everything what he gave us, isn't it? We are all like that. It's all lessons to us. That when Krishna is giving something, we'll take it very happily. But while giving back to Krishna, we count. Isn't it? This is that mind, how it works. That this is the point Mahakrishna is pointing out here. That the our weaknesses in mind, it says to him, at Mahabali says to him, when he was giving it to you, you didn't ask him why you are giving all these things to us. Is it not? And similarly, when he is taking it away from us, give it back with full heart, without any. So, but the thing is, Krishna says there, if you don't give it anything, doesn't matter. He will take it out from you. He knows how to get it out of you. So, and because he says there, it is the same person who says this, Mahabali says there, my great-granddad, you know Mahabali's lineage. Prahlada was his grandfather. Prahlada's father. Who? Hiranyakashipu. My great-granddad, he says, came from the pillar to take it out from him. If he had to do it, he will do that. So, Hiranyakashipu, if it is, if we are like Hiranyakashipu, then Krishna will have to do like the way he dealt with Hiranyakashipu. He'll have to rip us off with the stomach, everything. But because I am Mahabali, I am Vamanamurthy is begging from me as a brahmachari. Because I am Mahabali, he's showing. Because with Hiranyakashipu he has done that. And Hiranyakashipu is great-granddad of Mahabali. Isn't it? Mahabali's granddad is Prahlada. Prahlada's father is Hiranyakashipu. So with Hiranyakashipu, this is what he has done. So I should learn the lesson from that, Mahabali says. And with Prahlada, understood the principle. Therefore, when Krishna, Manarasimurthy was pushing for giving a boon, Prahlada said, no, 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 don't give me any boon. I don't want anything. Because I'm frightened to take anything from you. Tomorrow, I may get attached to it. It is yours. Nothing is mine. Prahlada was cautious, but Mahabali was super conscious. So that is why Prahlada told Mahabali, you have beaten me, he said. You have beaten me in spiritual life. Prahlada only said to Narasimhamurthy, don't give me anything. I don't want any benediction, blessing. You know that, the words in the Bhagavatam. If you look, you will see in the 7th canto, at the end, how the words, what Prahlada used while saying this to Mahabali, to Narasimhamurthy, he says to him that after Mahabali, so after the glorification, he says that Prahlada Bhadram Bhadram Te. Prithoham, that is in the 9th chapter, 7, 9, 52.
7952 ప్రహ్లాద భద్రభద్రం దే ప్రీతోహం తే అసురోత్తమ వరం వృణీష్ అభిమదం కామపూరోస్మ్యహం నృణాం మామ ప్రణది ఆయుష్మన్ దర్శనం దుర్లభం హి మే దృష్ట్వా మామ పునర్జందు ఆత్మానం తప్తుమర్హతి దిస్ ఈస్ ఆల్ కృష్ణస్ నరసింహమూర్తి ఈస్ ఆఫరింగ్ టు ప్రహ్లాద ఆస్క్ ఫర్ బోన్ హీ సెయింగ్ ప్రహ్లాద ఇస్ ఆన్సర్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ చాప్టర్ దట్ ఈస్ 7:10:2 హీ సెయిస్ మాం ప్రలోభయోల్పత్య ఆసక్తం కామేషు దేర్వరై తత్సంగబీదో నిర్విణో ముముక్షుత్వాం ఉపాశ్రితాః వృత్తిలక్షణ జిజ్ఞాసుర్భక్తం కామేషు చోదయన్ భవాన్ సంసార బీజేషు హృదయగ్రంథిషు ప్రభో సీ హౌ ప్రహ్లాద ఇస్ ఆన్సరింగ్ ప్రహ్లాద ఇస్ సేయింగ్ టు నరసింహమూర్తి దట్ ప్లీజ్ డోంట్ క్రియేట్ ఎనీ డిజైర్స్ ఇన్ మీ బికాస్ వృత్తిలక్షణ జిజ్ఞాసుర్ భక్తం కామేశ్వ చోదయన్ ఇఫ్ ఐ యువర్ ప్రాపర్ సర్వెంట్ డస్ నాట్ ఆస్క్ ఎనీథింగ్ భవాన్ బికాస్ వాట్ ఐ నీడ్ యాక్చువలీ ఇఫ్ ఐ ఆస్క్ సంథింగ్ దట్ మీన్స్ ఐ ఎమ్ ఇన్ మెటీరియల్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఐ హ్యావ్ డిజైర్ దట్ మీన్స్ ఐ వాసన ఐ హ్యావ్ దట్ మీన్స్ ఐ హ్యావ్ టు యాక్సెప్ట్ అనదర్ మెటీరియల్ బాడీ సో ఈ సేస్ హియర్ భవాన్ సంసార బీజేషు హృదయ గ్రంథిషు ప్రభో మై హృదయ గ్రంథి దట్ నాట్ ఆఫ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇట్ షుడ్ నాట్ బిల్డ్ అప్ ఇఫ్ ఐ ఆస్క్ దట్ మీన్స్ హృదయ గ్రంథి ఈస్ దేర్ సంసార బీజం ఈస్ దేర్ ద సీడ్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఈస్ దేర్ హృదయ గ్రంథి విల్ బీ దేర్ ఐ జస్ట్ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఇట్ టు గ్రో దట్ గ్రంథి టు ఫ్లారిష్ ఇన్ సైడ్ సో డోంట్ ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు ఆస్క్ ఎనీథింగ్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ రియలీ ఇన్సిస్ట్ దట్ ఐ హ్యావ్ టు ఆస్క్ ఫర్ సంథింగ్ దట్ ద ఓన్లీ థింగ్ ఐ విల్ ఆస్క్ ఇస్ give me that benediction that I do not never develop a mentality to ask for something. That was the benediction he asked. So you can see devotees like Prahlada and Mahabali, where they are coming from. They are talking to us, telling us that as long as we have desires and all other attachment to this world, it is not possible to serve Krishna properly. It's not possible because we have not understood Krishna's message properly then. Isn't it? So that is why he says here that aham tvam kamatal bhaktas tvam ja soumya anavashrayaha nanyadeha vayor artho raja sevagayoriva Prahlada explains all those things in detail there. Namo bhagavate tubhyam purushaya mahalpane hare albuda simhaya brahmane paramalpane saying this Prahlada's discussion with Narasimhamurti knowing all these things very well Mahabali did not want to take any chance anymore. So he was so happy that Krishna was taking away everything from him. Because Mahabali was so convinced, everything is Krishna's property. What do I have? Any ownership here? And the last thing what Mahabali had was his own ego. I am. That thought in him. Even that, he handed over to Krishna. How did he do that? That is what that third step is talking about. When Krishna put the foot, Vamanamurti put the foot on Mahabali's head, that is an indication of complete surrender. Atmanivedanam as it is called. Isn't it? Atmanivedanam as it is called. So because I am Mahabali, Mahabali says, Vamanamurti has come to this way, in this way, as a brahmachari and taking things from me in this particular way, because I am a king here, and Kalapurushan, he is addressed as Kalapurushan, time personified in that way. So if we don't hand over to Krishna, time will come and Krishna will take away everything from us, isn't it? That's what happens at the time of death. That's called Kalapurushan. Kalapurushan means time personified. Krishna comes in the form of time and takes everything from us, including this body and all your other things what you have in this world, for which we have worked whole life, paid all the taxes and feeling very proud about all the things what we feel, including the body, Krishna will take it, everything. But before that, Kalapurusha comes and takes it away, this attachment to those things, what we have at the moment, has to be broken. And that person who does that is spiritual master, is the guru. So, because when time personified, which comes in the form of death, when he comes and takes it away, it will create pain to everybody, isn't it? So therefore, before Kalavrishan, Kalavrishan is nothing but death. Remember in the 10th canto also. So that Kalavrishan comes, before that itself, this body, this mind, and all our upadhi. Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses. This is all upadhi. So body, mind, and all the upadhis, none of them is me. If I realize that, then I become perfect. Before Kalavrishan comes and takes it away from us, everything, body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. Before that, if I know that body is not mine, mind is not mine, none of the senses, intelligence, ego, nothing is mine. If I know that, I will become perfect. I'll become perfect, and that is knowledge. So before that knowledge is realized, before that knowledge is realized, as soon as possible, our connection with the upadhi has to be broken. And in order to break that connection, shastram is required. Before this knowledge is realized, before the knowledge is realized, we have to break the connection with the upadhi. Upadhi is the right word for that. Upadhi means things that has come on me without my asking for it. Like the body, like the mind, like the intelligence, like the ego, senses. These are all upadhi. So my connection with the upadhi, if I am able to break it before that knowledge develops, to make that happen, shastram is required. And shastram gives all this anushtanam for that purpose. So, spiritual master and this anushtanam, they are all what they call as vidhanam. It is called vidhanam. That is the word Krishna has used there. You see there? Tasmal shastra pramanam te, last words in the last chapter. Tasmal shastram pramanam te, karya karya vivastito, nyatva shastra vidhanoktam, karma kartum iharhasi. You see that word? Shastra vidhanoktam. That is called vidhanam. Vidhanam means this. That shastram, using the shastram, with the help of the shastram, before that knowledge develops, I am able to break my connection with the body, mind, senses, ego, intelligence, everything, and free myself from that. That is called shastra vidhanoktam. Vidhanam, it says. So this vidhanam, shastra vidhanam, the purpose of vidhanam is not to get something, instead to lose everything. This is important point. Normally, when we come to spiritual life, because we don't understand spiritual life in this way, we think that if we make some deal with Krishna, this is all karmi mind works, isn't it? That I'll make a deal with Krishna, if he can do all these things, can make my life a little bit happy. I'll offer you, if I make a lot of money, I'll share with you, he says to Krishna. That's not spiritual life. That's all mundane understanding, isn't it? More important than that is, you see these verses, how potent they are. He's saying that tasmal shastram pramanam. Shastram alone is the pramanam. So shastram, how does shastram teach us? It's not by getting something that you will become perfect. It's not by achieving or acquiring something or grabbing something, you are not going to become perfect. Shanti, perfection comes from losing everything. To help lose everything, that process is what shastram teaches us. Shastram doesn't teach us how to grab things. Shastram teaches how to lose things from here. So, because our vasanas inside will create a lot of thoughts inside us, because of our vasanas inside. And purpose of shastram is, you should not get time to do all that, what your vasanas are creating. Whatever desires vasana is creating inside us, you shouldn't get time to go after them. To keep yourself occupied.
Otherwise, what does Krishna wants us to spend 3-4 hours in the morning sitting there chanting Krishna's name 6 years? Idea is, all the sadhana process is, purpose of all the sadhana is that you don't become victimized by the mind and the vasanas inside. So the vasanas don't drag you to go and do all sorts of things in this world, and you shouldn't get time for doing that. Therefore, sadhana for the whole day. So, when we interact with other people in this world, their prarabdham and our karmam, they will work together. Their prarabdham and our karmam will work together. And from there, demons will be born. Madhu and Kaitava, the two demons we were talking about last class, they were born like that. Mahavishnu's ears, they have come and they were causing problem. Because all this is for jokingly we say about Madhukaitavas, these things. These are things what we have to practice in life and learn. There is no other way. Practice it in life and learn these things, all what we have spoken about. That what Krishna is saying to us, philosophy Krishna can tell us. But to put it into practice and experience it and try it out and see if it is the right thing, that one has to try oneself and experience oneself, that it is the truth. How? By freeing oneself from the influence of the body, influence of the mind, influence of the world. How it is actually binding me and making me more and more unhappy in life. So this great principle, what the rishis have found out from the Sushupti state, they want us to bring it back into the vacant state. And in order to do into the vacant state, Jagrat state, the underlying principle doesn't change. In the Sushupti state, by losing things, we came to perfection. In other words, the important lesson to learn is this, that it is not by getting something we will become happy. It is by relinquishing things, giving up things, we will come to the perfection or happy state in life. Otherwise, it won't happen. So that attachment has to be broken wherever it is, in whichever form it exists. Whether it is family, whether it is home, whether it is cash, whether it is assets, whichever form, wherever attachment is there, all that attachment has to break. Plus we have to also break the attachment to the body, to the mind, to the intelligence, to the ego. So many things. It is all distributed at the moment. In householder life particularly, it's a big empire running there, isn't it? Householder life isn't like an empire going on there. But the minimum it is there, then it is easier to give up also, when it is the minimum. So this this important thing, that suppose when the vyavaharam begins in this world, you can observe these things, that then if you are interacting with a few people, that their prarabdham will interact with our karma. Our karma will interact with their prarabdham. And from there, a demon will be born. A demon will be born. You can try this. Suppose there are 10 good people. So individually, 10 good people. Put them all together. They made a committee. Imagine they have made a committee. And as soon as the committee is born, there will be a little bit of... They're all good people individually, but there is some negativity in each one of them. All that negativity will come together and a demon will take birth from that. A demon will take birth from that. So, for example, say 10 people from them, say 20% or so negativity in there. So, that you can see, that will 10 times 20 or 200% or whatever, you can see, you will find one demon coming out of that who will have the power of a full-scale demon. Will come out from that. You can look at this in many places, this happening. That when they, 10 or 20 people joined together, but they all had something in them which was not very positive, very negative way. But because they all work together, the prarabdham creates such a situation, one of them will become a very powerful, forceful demon among them. He will have asura svabhavam in him. And that is inevitable. That cannot help. And this is the reason that
Vedam tells us, in spiritual life, don't bring too many together. For this reason only. Because it does cause this problem. If everyone is 100% pure, it's fantastic. But that you won't get. You will only get 50%, 30%, sometimes even 10% good one, and 90% it will be asuram. So you have a group of people who are demoniac in, say, asuri vasana inside, 20% or 30%, you put them all together, one demon will come out from that. Has to come out. That's the principle. So, because all of them, this is a one big problem in Vyavaharam. This problem. It exists in the Vyavaharam. So, that is a reason why Shastram tells us, in spiritual life, go on your own. Go it alone. Do it alone and go for it alone. This reason only. In Adhyatmam, spiritual life, Shastram will always tell us, do it alone. Because if you have joined somebody, then a force will come from that. Two people. And suppose two people are joined together and trying to do it, their prarabdham will come together. And from that, a demon will come out from that. Because it's two people's karma together. And a share of that, a share of his other person's karma, and a share of your own karma, it will create a force which you may not be able to handle. A force will come out from that. And it will come and stand in front of you. A share of his prarabdham, share of your prarabdham, it will come together, and a force will come from that. So, suppose if it is on your own negative force in you, suppose you are alone, and if it is your own negative force, then it is possible you may have sufficient inbuilt energy to handle that, if you are on your own. But if you get another 10 people with you, and you have to handle all their negative effect on you, then it is very difficult. And you don't have that capacity to handle that energy inside a person. This is Shastram. If you live in this world for a long time and keep on living, and you keep on doing your haram also in this world, you will learn these things from that. But you may not have taken it seriously from the Shastric side. From the Shastram point of view, you may not have taken it very seriously. And that is what Sanadana Dharma is telling us, teaching us this one important principle. This is all completely against the modern system in the world, what you observe, isn't it? In the modern world, it is number that matters. How you can increase your number, and you have a big follower, a group behind you, and you run around in this world with this whole group behind you, and impressing the world and increasing the number. This whole principle is completely against the Vedic understanding of self-realization, spiritual life. And so Sanatana Dharmam is individually based, not based on society. You see, Vyakti Nishtam, not Samoha Nishtam. Samoha Nishtam means community and organization. A lot of people have this strong vasana inside them. They want to have a community, strong community, they say. They think that if we have a strong community, we are all in it together and we'll be happy together. That is all useless. Because what they don't understand, the negative side of that. It's easy to, there are so many religious communities in the world all over, isn't it? Groups working together. You go and see yourself, how many of them are spiritually progressing. Majority of them are there fighting each other there itself within that community. It will always like that. That is why Sanatana Dharmam is Vyakti Nishtam, individual based. It's not based on the Samoha Nishtam. It's not community based. Everything individually. And you can't go together all as a group. Everything alone. Everyone has to walk in their own route and realize the truth. And that should be, that freedom is given in this Sanatana Dharma. Remember, if you look back into the history, you will see people left home and they walked away either to the Himalayas or to Vrindavanam or to Mayapur or wherever, another holy places where they went. They left home and went. They didn't look for I'll join this organization or that organization. It's not, so this Shastra Vidhi, when we are talking about, is meant for to control ourselves, and at the same time, not to get caught up in another set of karma again. And little by little, in order to bring us out of that and bring some steadiness and tapanishta in us, and in order to save us from ourselves, from our mind, in other words, and at the same time, save others from us, from what we will do in this world. And that is what is called vidhanam. See that word vidhanam? Vidhanam is a very, very important word in the Shastram. And the Krishna has perfectly chosen that word. Shastra vidhanoktam. See that?
Yeah.
Nyatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartum iharkasi. You should do karmam based on the shastra vidhanam. Krishna is saying there. Nyatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartum iharkasi. You are allowed to do karmam based on Shastra Vidhanam, Krishna says. Vidhanam means all this, what we have spoken so far. Important to know these things, because in the modern world, this is not how it is presented. It is presented that a lot of people say, I've joined this organization, that organization, and everything will be now okay, because I'm a card-carrying member, as they say. or so many things they say. They feel some happiness from that. Identity with some institution, they are feeling that it's going to save me from my disaster, what's waiting at the time of death. He hasn't got a clue what's going to come at the end. And the institution also puts the things to him in such a way, tells him, you know, from cradle to grave, everything is covered. The whole insurance policy, from beginning to end, is offered. And they will take you back to the, all that part of the job, even they take control of it. And they also give you a certificate that you have gone back home back to Godhead. What more do you want? You can't ask anything better than that, isn't it? So this illusion is in our head. That is the solution to the problem. That if it was that simple, Bhagavad Gita, we don't need it. Bhagavad Gita is telling us, yet shastra vidhanoktam, yatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartum iharkasi. Only if you follow this, there is some hope. Because Krishna is saying, tasmal shastram pramanam de karya karya vyavasthito, yatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartum iharkasi. So what we have spoken so far is that vidhanam. Shastra Vidhanoktam. What is Shastram expecting us to do? How to act in this world? And the purpose of Shastram, as I mentioned before, is that this mind, the way Shastram teaches us is this, that remember in the beginning of this chapter I mentioned this. First thing, to recognize there is distress. Secondly, to know that there is a solution. These two things, very important. First thing is to recognize there is distress in life. Individual level, you have to recognize that. You can't do it in a collective level. It's an individual thing. How much distress you are experiencing in life, which comes from all sides. Adhyatmikam, adhibhautikam, adhidevikam, in different ways. So, knowing that there is distress in life, from that, we have to know what is the solution. And Krishna is saying there is a solution. And the proof of that is Sushupti state. What is happening at the time of Sushupti, that when we give up things, there is relief from the material existence. All things, including the body, mind, intelligence, ego, and all our wealth in this world, everything when it's gone in the Sushupti, you are experiencing the highest happiness. That's the proof that there is a solution to the problem. And that solution, what is experienced in the deep deep sleep state, if we can bring that back into wakened state, that principle doesn't change,
But it has to be applied to the vacant state, and that is what this principle of giving the sadhana process to us. So that the mind, which has the tendency to work and to go after things, sense enjoyment in this world, and in order to bring that, keep the mind under control, a track has been given to us, which is called the sadhana. Sadhana is that track. And staying within that sadhana track, so that we do not create disturbance for ourselves and disturb others as well. With that intention, this has been given to us. And we don't go and get involved in the another fresh karma in somewhere and to bring that tapas in us. So that is what is called vidhanam. That is what that word. Yatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartu miharhasi. Bhagavad Gita won't tell you many things in detail. You are expected to know these things. Shastra vidhanoktam means. So, because normally we are thinking that all shastra vidhanoktam means what? Whatever we have, our mind is telling us. And that's not like that. It's not like that. So those who have acharyas, the great personalities, all the great devotees, great personalities, they have formulated this paddhati plan based on this shastra. Or based on the shastra vidhanam, they have written their injunctions. They created the instructions to us and they will give it to us. Because they know the science of shastra vidhanam. They know that according to the time in this world and circumstances, they will modify it. Only then it will be beneficial to people. According to the time and circumstances, they will modify it. And that is what Arjuna is asking here. You know that first verse, when Arjuna asked that question, Arjuna is saying here that there are people, because the way instructions are given today may be a little different than the way it was instructed in Dwapara Yugam or in the Treta Yugam. It's different in the Kali. Kali Yugam, more stress is given on chanting the holy name. But at the same time, many other issues related to spiritual life has not changed. Just like renunciation, detachment, vairagyam, jnanam, they have to be cultivated. That should be there. Jnana vairagyam is necessary. But bhakti and chanting the holy name is more stressed in the age of Kali, in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Puranams also. So depending on the time, things may change. And that is done by the great personalities according to the time. Great acharyas, great devotees. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to chant the holy name, he's coming from that angle, he's saying to us. That is, in this age, it's necessary to chant the holy name, looking into our state of consciousness and our mind. It is not that he invented something. You should not think like that. It is in the shastram, but he gave priority to that, prominence to it, rather than other things. Rather than deity worship, rather than meditation or going to the forest and things like that. He's saying to us that your state of life, his condition is such that this is more important. So that is Shastra Vidhanoktam. That is Shastra Vidhanoktam. But that's only possible for great personalities. Mahaprabhu, great acharyas and all, they do that. Always remember that it's not their invention. They are Shastra Vidhanoktam. In Shastram it is there, therefore they are saying this to us. Therefore they are saying to us. Not that he says, oh, I found a new method. We can't accept it. It is like that. That's how Veda means. They have to say something, but it should be supported by the Vedic injunction. Otherwise not. So it is in the strength of the Vedam that they have given these instructions. So Arjuna is asking this question to him, that Shastram is not known.
We don't know what the ordinary people like us, we don't know the Shastram. But at the same time, great personalities have come and told us, based on the Shastram, some things to us. And if I do that, will I be in the mood of goodness, passion or ignorance? That is the first question. You see that? So it is referring to those people, those who have taken to this path of spiritual life, those who accept the authority of the Vedam, but they don't know what Vedam says. But great personalities had come in the Vedic tradition and they are giving instructions to us and we are following that. What they have told us to do, we are following that. If we do that, will that be in the mode of goodness, mode of passion or mode of ignorance? That is that first verse. Arjuna Uvacha, ya shastra vidhimul srijya yajande shraddhayan vidaha tesham nishta tuka krishna sattvam aho rajastama. That's that verse. That is the verse. So, ya shastra vidhimul srijya yajande shraddhayan vidaha. So, when Krishna concluded the last chapter like that, Arjuna had this question, very important question to ask. About Shraddha. Where is my Shraddha? Is that Shraddha is in goodness? Is that Shraddha in passion? Or is that Shraddha in ignorance? In Tamogunam. He is asking there. Isn't it? So, so, some people will say, you can't do everything after studying all the Shastram. Isn't it? Like Prahlada said that. Studying all the Shastram is impossible because Prahlada asked the boys, who is classmates, he said to them that, how long do we live in this world? They said that roughly 100 years, that's the maximum you can expect. And in this 100 years, how much time have you got for yourself to come to spiritual, to do in anything spiritual life? So the boy said, generally we do all these things at later part in life. Early years we are busy with the studies, acquiring qualifications or skills and then getting a job and then getting married and then having children and then by then earning money, building home, this, that and the other. Prahlada said, let's do it this way, he said. Prahlada says to them, okay, if you say 100 years of our lifetime is, 50 years goes in sleeping, gone. 50 years gone in sleeping, isn't it? Roughly, I'm saying, sometimes even 60, 70 goes in sleeping, I don't know. But average, you say, 50 years goes in sleeping. So 50 years gone. Then remaining 50 is left. In that, he says, Mugdasya bhalye kaumare kridade yadi vimshadi charayagrastha dehasa yate kalpasya vimshadi. First 20 years, you are busy with all your childhood games, playing children's life. And then when you become the teenager, then you have to go to school or college or studying something and getting whatever livelihood you have to earn in this world. Because of that, you acquire some skills or qualifications. So he's saying there that 20 years you can write it off, he said, till you get established in this world. That means educational qualifications, and then after that you have to find a job or work or business, whatever it is, and to get proper way making a living in this world. By now 20-25 years has gone in life. And then the Prahlada said, you have to get married after that, isn't it? So after marriage another few years goes like that. And then children comes, they have to bring them up. A lot of time goes along with that. So if you deduct all that, how much is left? They said. So out of 50, 20 has gone here to this. 20 for the studies, education and all that, take that away. Then he says to him, Prahlada says to them, 60 is the retirement age, isn't it? After that, you have become useless. As far as body is concerned, mind is concerned. And family members also, they are waiting, when will you go? When will you leave? They'll encourage you to take sannyasam and go away from here. So you feel completely helpless that you're not of any use to the world, pensioner. Not very much. Everybody is saying, get the money out of the pensioner. Isn't it? The government is also saying, why we pay them so much? They had a good life because of us, they say. Young people will say like that. Doesn't matter. So they take jarayagrastha dehasya yatyakalpasya vimshari. By 60, the body will show its colors. One after the other, you go home and look at your medical box, you will see all the medicines stored up nicely. Morning 2 tablets, at lunchtime 2 tablets, evening tablets, and all other pain, all sorts of other things, problems. So body is useless then. Mind is also useless. Can't remember anything. All the time mind is focused on which medicine to take at what time. That's all. So therefore reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all has no effect. So Prahlada told them that Mugdasya Balye Kaumare Kridade Yadi Vimshadi, 20 gone here. Jarayagrastha Dehasya Yatyakalpasya Vimshadi, another 20 gone there also. So out of the 50, 20 and 20 has gone, 40 has gone, balance 10 is left. 10 is left. And he is saying to the boys who are with him, this is not going to help you very much. So similarly, some people, they will say like this, that people who have some understanding, I don't know anything. Because it's difficult. Where are you going to study Shastram in your life and to learn all these things? But my spiritual master has told me to chant the holy name. To chant the holy name. And so, and I'm doing that, whatever I have been doing. So, purpose of Shastram is ultimately to free yourself from all this bondage, what is in life. That means what has been bound by us in the early days in life. And then when we are grown up, that strong karma vasana, what is inside us, this will start manifesting and take us into all sorts of activities in this world to make money, to acquire wealth, is it not? And that is madness, isn't it? That madness will take control. So therefore, it is at that time you require the highest dose of medicine. And that is why it is in the youth when the mind and the senses are demanding maximum karmam from the body, that karmam has to be checked. That is why Shastram is insisting that all the sadhana should be executed maximum at that time. In order that takes into naishkarmyam. Naishkarmyam means freedom from that karmic effect. Karmic effect. So, keeping all these things in front, acharyas have created all these things, instructions to us, they are given to us. They know very well that this nishtha, this steadiness, that is not going to be perfect by doing karma. They know that very well. They know very well it will become perfect only through knowledge, jnanam. Only through jnanam and not through karma it will become perfect. They know that. But till that knowledge comes, we have to be protected. Is it not? See, we know the answer. That self-realization is the only solution to the problem. And only by realizing the self, we will come out of this darkness where we are today. But till self-realization happens, we have to be protected. And that protection from karma and karma vasana, what is inside us, is what is known as vidhanam. Shastra vidhanoktam. So shastra vidhanam is that protective coating for us. So that you don't get trapped in the increasing the karma, more karma vasana, and building more lifetime bodies afterwards to accept more material bodies. So completely checking that and restricting us from increasing our karma vasana. And they know this very well, but till we get that knowledge, we have to be protected. We have to be protected. So for that purpose, our upadhis. Upadhis are the problem. Upadhis are the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego. All of them, it has to be kept pure as possible.
And for that purpose, they have constructed a wall around us. And that wall that the Acharyas have built around us is called Shastra Vidhanam, the word. So Shastra Vidhanam is a very important word. The Shastra Vidhanam is that wall Acharyas have built around us to protect us from getting absorbed in the world unnecessarily. To the very minimum necessary only to keep you in that way. Not to load you. So what they have done is, you have karma vasana. So they have loaded us with karma. Different way of karma. Doing it. So that it does not create trouble to others and trouble to yourself. And that is what he's saying here. So, therefore Krishna is saying, if you have to do karma, do it based on shastram. See that word? He says here, yatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartum iharkasi. If you have to do karma, do it based on shastram. Shastra vidhanoktam karma kartum iharkasi. And not for the purpose of showing off in this world and to for vanity reasons or to impress others or for fame or for popularity or for recognition from others. Not for that purpose. Krishna is saying, Shastra Vidhanoktam. And that is Krishna's injunction. Krishna is saying, you should. There is no other, there is no exclusions. Krishna is saying, don't do karmam for the sake of your pride or ego or for your recognition or fame or popularity, but instead for this purpose. Nyatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartum Iharhasi. You are allowed to do karma, Krishna is saying here. So, that instructions Arjuna has heard, and Arjuna is asking on that basis this question. Because Krishna has put this string attached to it, that you can't go and do karma according to your crazy way, or what your mind is dictating, or your vasanas are dictating from inside. He said, Nyatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartum Iharkasi. Krishna put that string there, the hook there, and says, that is why that last two verses in the last chapter, in the 16th chapter, they are a very important introduction to the 17th chapter. Because if you don't understand those two verses well, you won't be able to appreciate what Krishna is saying in the next chapter. You see, Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De. Yal Shastra Vidimulusrajya Vartade Kama Karaga Masasiddhim Avapnodi Masukhamna Paramgadim. That verse. And then Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De Karya Karya Vivastido Nyatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartum Iharkasi. You should digest those two verses well. And then we should enter into the next chapter. So Arjuna is asking this on behalf of us also. On behalf of us also, he is saying to him that Arjuna is saying, I don't know the Shastram. What the Shastram says, we don't know. What the Shastram says, we don't know. But we have got some spiritual understanding, spiritual interest in spiritual life. Bhakti is there. And we have got the humility to ask and accept what Krishna is saying. So therefore, if any great Mahatma is giving instructions, we are following those Mahatmas at that time, then what will happen to me? That is, what will happen to those people? So, touching that chapter, Daivasura Sambandh Vibhaga Yoga, which is the 16th chapter, Krishna is going to answer this in the 17th chapter. So, you have to remember, every moment in our life, Krishna is present inside us, Antaryami is controlling us. Every moment, Krishna is controlling us. Even if you are making some mistakes, even that ability to do something wrong is coming from Krishna. Coming from Krishna. And therefore, if we do not have particularly any selfish motives, swartham, selfish motives, and if we analyze, accept that I'm just an instrument in the hands of Antaryami, Krishna inside, then that recognition is required. Because if there is selfishness inside
And which means, if there is selfish, that means there is false ego inside. There is false ego inside. You can more or less say that selfishness is always combined with false ego. Combined with false ego. If there is a selfishness inside, then there will be a purpose behind it. When we engage in spiritual life, if there is selfishness inside, there will be a purpose behind it. That means there is some motive behind it, to get something or to grab something. That is why that selfishness to lose from inside, and to get that clarity inside, that my spiritual life has to run in the proper way, not based on my desires, not based on my vasanas inside. To make that clarity very clear, Krishna decided to talk about Shraddha. Talk about, this is where Shraddha comes in. If we act in this world purely with this understanding that I am just an instrument in Krishna's hands, and all the time we are conscious of that, on what we are doing, then it won't create any damage. And the Yami is dictating, I am doing it. But that degree of surrender doesn't happen easily. Most of us have selfish motive which doesn't easily go away. You can see that in spiritual life also. If you are an intelligent observer, you will notice these things. Even after coming to spiritual life, selfishness doesn't go away easily. So when there is selfishness, you can take it more or less that there is some purpose behind it, why they are in the spiritual life, which is completely different than self-realization. There will be another motive behind it. Externally, everything will be okay. But the subtle body will inside, due to the vasanas and due to the selfish reasons behind it, is not pure. It's not pure. And he may be looking for something, or he may want to make some benefit from that for himself. So we are flowing along with this in our life, in the spiritual life, isn't it? So Krishna understands our situation very well, that because it is like this, the way it happens in life, all of us, and when we come to spiritual life, our selfishness comes with us to operate with selfish interests. And therefore, Krishna says to us that this Shraddha, if it is properly directed, that selfishness will leave us one day. If it is properly directed, selfishness will leave us one day. And keeping this in the objective, as the objective, Krishna is going to reply this verse, Arjuna's question. Arjuna's question, Krishna is going to reply this question. So that is that verse. If you look into the second verse, you will see. It's a lot to know, actually. It's not so simple, but you think about it. The subtlety of that. The more you understand the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita's verses, you will start seeing that there is a whole science behind it. It's not so easy that you just read the words and pick up the things from there. So Arjuna asked a question. What was the question? Question was, Yashastra vidimul srijya yajande shraddhayanvitaha tesham nishtatuka krishna satvam aho rajastama. That was the question, isn't it? So earlier, remember, some time ago, in one chapter, it was in the fourth chapter, Krishna said, for realizing the self knowledge, important thing is Shraddha. Remember? Shraddhavan lebhade jnanam, Krishna says. If you look in the fourth chapter, you will see in the Bhagavad Gita. So already he has spoken about that before. Shraddhavan lebhade jnanam. At that time, we did not understand what this actually Shraddha meant. We will say, oh, ശ്രദ്ധാവാൻ ലഭതി ജ്ഞാനം മീൻസ് ജനറലി പീപ്പിൾ വിൽ സേ ആർ ടു ബി എ ലിറ്റിൽ ബിറ്റ് മോർ ഫോക്കസ്ഡ് ദേ വിൽ സേ ഓർ ഐ വിൽ സേ ഐ മസ്റ്റ് ബി മോർ അറ്റൻറ്റീവ് ആഫ്റ്റർ സേയിങ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് വി വിൽ സ്ലീപ്പ് ഇൻ ദ ക്ലാസ് ദിസ് ഇസ് ഹൗ വി ആർ ദിസ് ഇസ് അവർ ഉപാധി ഡസ് ദാറ്റ് ബോഡി ഡസ് ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ഇസ് ഇൻ So, and then we wake up from the sleep and say, oh, I have to be attentive. That means I got Shraddha, I think. But neither sleep nor waking up is Shraddha. Shraddha is something different than all these things. So, if you look into the fourth chapter, in the 39th verse, that's where it is, I think. 439, Krishna mentions that, Shraddhavan labhade jnanam. Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Talpara samyadendriyaha. ജ്ഞാനം ലബ്ധ്വാ പരാം ശാന്തിം അചിരേണാതി ഗച്ഛതി സി ദി ഇൻട്രൊഡക്ഷൻ ഫോർ ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഗോസ് ബാക്ക് ലോങ് ബാക്ക് ലോങ് എഗോ ശ്രദ്ധാവാൻ ലഭതേ ജ്ഞാനം അഗെയിൻ യു സീ ദ ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ടി പ്രോബദസ് യൂസ് ദ വേർഡ് എ ഫെയ്ത്ത്ഫുൾ മാൻ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹെൽപ്ലെസ് ബിക്കോസ് യു ഡോണ്ട് ഹാവ് അനദർ വേർഡ് ഫോർ ശ്രദ്ധ ഇൻ ഇൻ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് Shraddha is a spiritual word actually, very much based on spiritual life. So he's saying here, a faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge. And having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Now normally a person reads this, he'll start thinking, oh, I'm completely focused, I'll keep my both hands like this. And I'm fully giving full attention to it. So that means I've got Shraddha, as far as he is concerned, that person, whoever is thinking like that. And I'm giving all my energy and mind, intelligence, everything into that verse. And still I'm feeling I haven't got it. Why? Why is that? Because Shraddha is not your so-called attention. Shraddha is not attention. Shraddha is a word. So Krishna is saying in that verse that Jnanam labdhva param shandim achirenadi gacchadi. He says here, the purpose or the result of jnanam, knowledge is shanti. Shanti is the final result of jnanam. And Krishna has spoken about shanti many times before, is it not? And later also. Shanti, shanti, shanti. He keeps repeating this word shanti. But we don't want shanti. We want excitement, is it not? That's the problem. That Krishna is saying to us, shanti is the best situation. So, Shanti is the result of jnanam. Krishna is saying that knowledge. And for jnanam, Shraddha is necessary. So sadhana for jnanam is Shraddha. And the result of jnanam is Shanti. This is the Bhagavad Gita's message to us. So all other sadhana, what you are doing, chanting the holy name, all other things is for creating this Shraddha inside. Creating this Shraddha inside. So, due to Shraddha, what will happen is, the attention in the world will go and attention will turn towards the soul. Towards the soul. So, all sadhana is with this purpose. That somehow or the other, we lose our interest in this world. It's very difficult to give it up, isn't it? Attention in the world is very difficult. We are looking for bringing the spiritual world into the material life. Instead of leaving the material life and going to spiritual life, what we try to do is, first we keep, say, 80% material life and say 10 or 20% spiritual life. We begin like that, in the beginning. And everybody tells you, don't go and jump into it straight away. Take your own time and then see. That is when you start first getting the books and start reading it, bit here and bit there. But at the same time, you continue with your material life. For a long time, period of time. As time passes on, you get some knocks and kicks in life, then you become a little bit more sensitive to spiritual life, and then you become a little bit more serious, you get a beats bag and start chanting the holy name, and start following few principles seriously. That's the next step when it comes in the, and you start taking a little bit seriousness in spiritual life and go and listen to one or two classes here and there. And then somebody tells you how to get a guru first. So the search begins at that time. And then you do all these things. But what Krishna is pointing out to us is here, if you look in Bhagavad Gita carefully, you'll see this. Shraddhavan labhade jnanam. And jnanam, Krishna mentions there,
Jnanam labdhva param shantim ajirenadi gachati. Jnanam leads to shanti. So in one place in the Upanishads, it says like this, that the whole material nature is working to create Shraddha in us. What we are going to discuss now is what Shraddha is. If you understand what Shraddha is, then only this chapter will make sense. Otherwise, if you just think that, oh, I got full attention now, and whether it is goodness, passion or ignorance, what it is, if you start thinking like that, ultimately at the end of the chapter, you will start thinking that, oh, this is not much different than the previous chapter. You will start thinking in that way. So instead, what you have to understand is that to create that Shraddha in us, and through that Shraddha experience of the Self, that's the goal. Through the Shraddha experience of the Self, Upanishad says in a different way. It says, it's raining in order to, and it creates plants to grow. The rain helps the plants to grow, Vanaspati, Aushadhi, they are called. And they grow food. And we eat that food. And then we are able to perform austerities with the body. And through that austerity, we are able to create Shraddha. You got to see the subtle side of that statement. Vedam says, it rains, food crops grows, and we are able to grow food, vegetables and all other things. And we are able to consume food from that. By consuming that food, we are able to keep this body functioning, and we are able to engage in austerities and penances. Through that austerities and penances, we are able to create Shraddha, and through that Shraddha, Jnanam. It is a Upanishad statement. It is, there's a whole verses. So, therefore, austerities, Shraddha, and Jnanam, self-realization, Vedam points out to us in that way. It is pointing out to us in that way. This statement is in the Mahanarayana Upanishad, one of the 108 Upanishads. It mentions this, that Yadrishir Atyanandandi Parjanyo Aushadhi Vanaspati Prajayate Tapasa Anugrahaya Vijnanam Vedayati. That how it leads from one to another. In other words, Vedam allows us to have food. Vedam has allowed us to have food. And that food that is grown, material nature will provide us that, what we need for sustaining this material body. Body needs to be maintained, but not use the body for sense enjoyment. Allow to maintain the body so that we can engage in austerities and tapasya, austerities and penances. By doing that, tapasya leads to Shraddha. That is the principle of all the Upanishads' message. If you look into all the Upanishads, you will see this. They have all performed austerities. And through austerity, they acquired Shraddha. And through Shraddha, they acquired Jnanam. So Shraddha is something that comes in between austerities and self-realization, knowledge. Between the and knowledge. So, Parjanye Aushada Vanaspadaya Prajayate. It says that. So, due to rain, Aushadhi. Aushadhi means all the plants and vanaspati, plants, trees, everything. Everything is grown. And Aushadhi, from Aushadham, Aushadhi comes Annam Bhavadi. Food comes from that. Food comes from that. And by eating that food, the body gets the strength. Body gets the strength. What is the benefit? Anena Bhranaha. Because from Annam, from food, Urjam, energy gets. We get the energy. And pranair bhalam. If there is energy, is pranan, isn't it? That is how the food gets converted into the body. Food, whatever we consume the food, by Andaryami's help, Andaryami converts that food into energy, isn't it? Into energy. Look at the way how Andaryami does that. For us, a certain type of food, it converts into energy. For the ordinary cow, simple grass is enough, and cow can extract energy from that grass. That grass won't give us energy. It will give energy to the cow. Andaryami in the cow will convert that grass into energy. Antaryami in us will convert the grains like rice, wheat, suji, vegetables, milk, everything into energy. This is Antaryami's capacity. Antaryami is capable of doing all that thing. So that is called pranan. That pranan it is called. And this pranan travels in the body in five different places, isn't it? Pancha pranan they are called. Pranan, apanan, samanan, udanan, vyanan. Like that. And it keeps this body functioning. That is how this body is working, isn't it? And not only that, because of that, it gave strength to the body, able to do things, and it also gave some strength to the senses inside. Senses inside. So what is the senses? Inside, internal senses. Internal senses means mind, intelligence, those things. They are chitta, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. These are the internal senses. External senses is five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. So when we have this food, the food strengthens us and gives strength to the internal senses. Mind, buddhi, intelligence and ego. So, and that strength, balena tapasa, from balam, that's called balam. The strength what you have is called balam, balena tapasa. It gives strength for performing austerities and penances. Tapasa, that's what it's called, tapasa. And what happened, that means, from the balam, from the strength, what you have to remember this. Balam is not for sense enjoyment, but it is for sense, for austerities and penances. That's the most important principle. Balam is not for sense enjoyment, but it's given to us for austerities and penances. And if you perform austerities and penances, what will happen? Shraddha will come. Shraddha will come. And so, inside the person, our Shraddha was initially towards the sense enjoyment. Initially, Shraddha was for sense enjoyment. So that Shraddha is for sense gratification. For sense gratification. So when we had engaged in the tapasya, tapasya converts, say you are chanting the holy name. It's a tapasya. So if you engage in that tapasya, austerity of chanting, continuously chanting and performing that, then what happens? Suppose when you are chanting, our attention gets distracted by something. So for example, I'm sitting and chanting here. Somebody walk through this way. Immediately you will notice there that my eyes will flicker. That person who has gone in front of me, isn't it? So immediately I look at that person. Who has come? Who has gone there? Isn't it? This is, in the Shastram, they call it as Vikshiptam. Vikshiptam. Jnanam Vikshiptam Sravati, says Bhagavadam. And that means, when I was engaged in austerity, I was fixed, my Shraddha was on the Atma, or spiritual life, soul, attention. While chanting, I was focused on, focus is not the right word, the Shraddha was in the self, Atma. But as soon as a person walked in front of me, my Shraddha went to that person. And Bhagavadam says like this, if you have a pot of water and it is filled with water and there's a hole in that, it keeps leaking through that. It says here that similarly, in the senses and in the senses where my Chitshakti is present there, in the mind, in the senses, intelligence everywhere, the chit shakti, remember, sata chitta anandam. That chit shakti is present inside in all these places. Where? In the mind, intelligence, in senses, everywhere. So when the chit shakti is operating through all these things, mind, intelligence, senses, everywhere, if the chit shakti is operating, my Shraddha is in the Atma.
in the self and self-realization. If that chit shakti, somehow or the other, goes to the, loses that and starts flowing outward towards the world, it becomes chittam. See the difference there? One is chit shakti, which is only, that means if that shraddha goes away, goes to the world in sense enjoyment, sense gratification, or anything in this world, anywhere if it gets distributed, then that chit shakti inside, it becomes chittam. So that is why chittam, which is in the subtle body, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam, isn't it? Four things, they constitute the subtle body. So what if somebody asks the chittam, what is chittam, and they ask that question, the answer to that is this. Chit shakti, when it starts flowing outwardly because of shraddha gone into the world, and that shraddha, when it has converted that chit shakti into world, that becomes chittam. That is the world called chittam. So here, Krishna says here, when it starts flowing outwardly to the world, it is called chittam. And if it goes inwardly, it is called chitta. So you see the connection between shraddha, chit and chittam. If the shraddha is fixed in the alma inside, in the soul inside, and if it's not going out at all in the world and making contact with the worldly objects and sense gratification in the world, if it remains in the self, completely attached to the self and the realization of the self, it is called chitta. Shraddha will become the chit. Power is the same power. It's all coming from the soul. Instead, if that shraddha has gone to the world, to all the worldly objects and vyavaharam and all other personalities in this world, and if my shraddha is everywhere distributed like that, it becomes chittam. It becomes chittam. That is why chittam carries all the vasanas. You know, out of the four things, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam, chittam carries all our vasanas. And that is why all we have accumulated in several lifetimes and in this lifetime, all that vasanas are stored up in the chittam. Stored up in the chittam. So Krishna is, in the Bhagavatam it says here, Sravandi Amakadham Suvat. Amakadhambuvat, it says. Amakadhambuvat. In the Bhagavatam somewhere, I have to find out where it is. Sravandi Amakadhambuvat. We have gone, read that verse, I can't remember where it is. It is in the 11th canto if I am not wrong. Sravandi Amakadhambuvat, it says. That means there is a pot full of water and there is a hole at the bottom of the pot. And through that hole, water is continuously leaking. So if you allow your mind for that hole to, the mind is like that, through that it will start leaking. Shraddha will start leaking through the mind and it will quietly come out to the world. And that's it. End of it. Finished. There's nothing after that you can do about it. So so just like through the holes in the pot, water goes away. Similarly, through the senses, the knowledge goes away. Through the senses, knowledge goes away. Through the senses, vikshiptam. So when it starts going out like that, through the senses, when it starts going into the world, it's called mind. It's called mind. And that means that knowledge of the self inside, which due to our shraddha gone into the world outside, it goes through the senses into the world and it gets distributed. Vikshiptam, it's called. So when the jnanam, when it goes through the senses into the world and gets distributed there, which it is called mind. Why? Because at that time, attachment builds up to the worldly objects, sense objects, and then it is called mind. It's called mind. So mind is not something, a separate another box inside. It's all one power that comes from the soul, which takes different forms based on the function. It is called mind. You see, based on the function, it's called mind. So that's why when we talk about subtle body, we say manasa buddhi hangaram chittam. That's one force it is. But whichever is prominent, you will address it with that name. Say, for example, if in your mind you are feeling very strong ego, then we will say you have got ego. But it is your mind that is. Yeah. Instead, suppose if you have got, you are working in a very absorbed and intellectually something, then I would say, oh, there's a lot of intelligence in you. What vastu is one, that you have to remember that. There's only one thing. And that power comes from the soul. Power comes from the soul. So instead of going through mind, intelligence, ego and all that, if that power that comes from the soul, if it is completely absorbed in the self, then it is chit shakti remaining as it is. But instead of you allow that chit shakti to flow through the senses to the world and get attached to all the places, that is what our attachment is actually. It is also coming from the chit shakti. That creates the attachment, and that attachment turns out into asakti, what Krishna says later. And becomes into asakti. Asakti means excessive attachment in this world. Then it is called mind. It is called mind. So you can see mind as a different way of functioning of the chit shakti, and self-realization is a different way of functioning the chit shakti. When you are in its pure form of chit shakti, if you are always situated, then there is no mind. Mind is for those who have got desires, who have got vasanas, who have got attachments in this world. Otherwise, there is no mind. There is no thing called mind. Mind doesn't exist. So people often get confused. Oh, I'm not going to have any more mind when I realize the self. No, you never had any mind. Mind is something, we are calling it as a mind because the chit shakti inside, which is your real power, that has come out into the world and made contact with the worldly objects, personalities. And you developed excessive attachment everywhere. That is called mind, nothing else. There's nothing else than that. So once you understand this principle of the mind, then you won't get frightened about losing the mind. Sometimes people do get frightened when you tell them that, oh, you're not going to have any mind when you realize the self. They get it very, because they think this mind is giving them all the happiness in life. This is the misunderstanding of that. So what Krishna is saying here, or you can call it as chittam at that time, because it's full of vasanas inside. So, for example, suppose I have some vasanas for to have a nice car, a very expensive posh car if I like to have. And when I see a nice car on the road, immediately my attention, Shraddha, will go there. Because that vasana is inside me. And the mind will tell me to go and stay there, my Shraddha will stay there. Mind will decide that. The mind will make that happen. That all my attention will go into that car at that time. That's the way it will happen. And that is, I don't have to tell the mind to do that. In a natural way it happens. So sahajam, that is called. And that is the mind. So in order to take that from there, from that object, from that object, and bring it back to Atma or to Krishna, bring it back to Krishna, that is what is called sadhana. That's what is called sadhana, and that is the most difficult thing. That's most difficult thing. So mind, to develop attention or shraddha towards sense objects, and the its ability to go outwardly and to go and get attached to sense objects and to remain there, that capacity, you don't call it as Shraddha. It is not called as Shraddha. You see, that power inside to go out through the senses and to make contact with the sense objects and able to stay there, all the attention there, all the to be present there, the Chit Shakti, to be present in that object, that is not called Shraddha. It is only called Shraddha, that is called, what we call it as Chittam, when that happens. It's called Chittam. So, another word is Krishna used here is Asakti. Remember, Krishna said that, used that word in the Bhagavad Gita. My Asakta Manapartha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. 7th chapter, I think. Yeah, begins like that. மை ஆசக்த மன பார்த்தா கிருஷ்ணன் சே ஆசக்தி. ஸோ வென் தட் ஆசக்தி வென் இட் கெட்ஸ் டேர்ன் டுவர்ட்ஸ் கிருஷ்ணா இட்ஸ் கால்ட் ஸ்ரத்தா. When that asakti towards the objects, what we have, when it is asakti, it's not called shraddha. That is why I'm saying, when you use this word attention, you've got to be careful. It is not attention. Attention, for example, suppose you tell me something to find out the route to London from here, the shortest route or something, and if I start looking into the Google or some roadmap or something, that's not called shraddha. That is, your chittam is working there, that's all. Shraddha is only this thing, that my mind which goes, mind or the chit shakti, what is flowing outside into the objects and trying to gratify my senses in some form or the other, all the five senses. If my chit shakti goes through any one of them and gets absorbed in any of the things in this world, that is called a chittam. Instead, the same chit shakti, if it goes inward, looking for realizing the self and Antaryami inside, making contact with Antaryami and completely always in relationship with Antaryami, then it is called Shraddha. Then it is called Shraddha. So now you see the difference between Shraddha and Chittam. Shraddha and the Chittam. So that is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, keep the Shraddha in me. He said, remember that, my asakta manaparta, that asakti what you have in the world, asakta manaparta, which is asakti with the mind. That is why Krishna used that word. My asakta manaparta, asakti and mind goes together. Shraddha and mind don't go together. That is why that verse is like that. My asakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. 7th chapter, 1st verse. He says there, asakti and manas, mind, they will go together. Take that away from there and bring it towards me. Yogam yunjan madashraya. And taking my Krishna shelter. So, because asakti we will understand easily, isn't it? We can understand asakti. But shraddha we cannot understand. That's it. Because we have never had shraddha. That's why. What we have got is only asakti. And with this asakti, I am going on doing things. So that is why Krishna is saying here. For example, asakti you can easily understand. Why? We have asakti towards our children, towards wife, towards the husband. And we have asakti towards money, name and fame. All this is asakti. All this is asakti. It's not shraddha. It's all asakti. That is why turn that asakti towards me, Krishna says, Maya asakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. He says, asamshayam samagramam idajnyasasi tachrunu. So, ahameva maya asakta manaparta, ahameva ashrayaha, only me alone as the shelter. Yogam yunjan madashraya. In that verse, you will see, 7th chapter. Ahameva ashrayaha, that means only me as the shelter, which means what? It means even for your sadhana, I am the only shelter. That is the way it is to understand that verse. My asakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. Yogam yunjan madashraya, even your yoga state, whatever yogam you are executing, whether it's bhakti yogam, jnana yogam, karma yogam, whatever it is. Yogam yunjan madashraya, keeping, taking my shelter, you have to execute. Otherwise not. No, most of the people are not taking that seriously, are they? When they do sadhana, they do doing like a karma. Oh, I have to chant my 16 rounds, I'll do that. That's it. Yogam, that's not yogam yunjan madashraya. Krishna, what Krishna is saying to us is that, if you do it this way, what will happen is, this mind which had its asakti towards material objects and material thoughts, that will leave that and it will become Shraddha and it will develop. Shraddha means it will become Chit Shakti. Turn it to Chit Shakti. So, so here, important is that this is when Krishna is saying there that, for example, when sometimes you see, observe people, they close their eyes and they go into meditation, isn't it? So, but when you open your eyes, you see the world, again it comes out. Shraddha goes away. So sometimes they keep deliberately eyes closed. But the problem with the closing eyes is you may fall asleep. That's the difficulty. So because of that, we keep our eyes open. But some people, they try to go into meditation mode, and by doing that, they think that they can keep focused on the attention, Shraddha, inwards. But the problem is that when you open the eyes, it goes away. So Krishna's point is, if you take my shelter, Krishna says, in both these situations, you can achieve that yoga state. Which one? When you close your eyes, when you open your eyes. That means if you are seeing the world or if you are not seeing the world, in both situations, you can remain, your Shraddha can be in me. That is why he is saying here, whether when your eyes are open and when you are seeing the world or when your eyes are closed, in both situations, that means Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti. Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti. You have to see both as Krishna's form. Both, because when you are closing the eyes, what's happening is that you are rejecting Aparaprakriti then. Is it not? Aparaprakriti you don't want to relate with. You are only seeing Paraprakriti. Krishna is saying that if you execute your yoga process by surrendering to me, which is Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. Madashraya, that's the word. Madashrayam. If you take, happens that, then whether you keep your eyes closed or eyes wide open, it does not matter, because both Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti you will see as Krishna's manifestation. That is called Samagra Jnanam. So that means Dhyanam, not only in meditation, but when you are woken up from the meditation, which is called Uthana Dasha. Even in that Uthana Dasha, that his state of Samadhi doesn't change. You know, in Jnanis, from where they differ from the Yogam, Patanjali's Yogam, how Jnanam differs is this. That yoga system says that you have Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. That Dhyanam is when the eyes are closed in the meditation mode, Dhyanam. In Jnanamargam, what they are saying to us is that, what Krishna is saying also in the 7th chapter, that if you have taken my shelter completely, and if you are executing your spiritual life with that understanding all the time, then whether you keep your eyes open or eyes closed, because when you open the eyes, what happens? You make contact with the world. That's what happens, isn't it? So that keeping contact with the world, whether eyes are open or eyes are closed, it does not matter. Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti, both you will realize that it's me, Krishna says, it's me who is present in both the forms. And that is the perfection, he says there in the Jnanamargam. Samagrammam, asamshayam samagrammam yadhajnyasasi tachrunu, isn't it? That is called Samagra Jnanam. That 7th chapter is an important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. So that is why Krishna begins that, my asakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagramam. So what is samagram means? Samagram means this. That not that only when your eyes are closed that you are in the state of self-realization of self. Even when your eyes are wide open. That is why when the jnanis open their eyes, they don't see the world. They don't see the world. We think that they are looking, they are not looking at anything. They can keep their eyes open, but they are not seeing anything. That means Aparaprakriti does not affect them. Aparaprakriti does not affect them. Whereas if our eyes are open, we will see everything in this room very minutely. We'll take notice of it, isn't it? That's the way our eyes operate and our vasanas will work. According to that, we'll say, oh, this is good, this is bad. This is nice, this is not so nice, this is beautiful, this is ugly. All these vasanas will start operating from inside. So all the objects also, you will look at it and you will have this. Ragadvesham is continuously happening inside. Continuously working inside Ragadvesham, attachment and aversion. And based on that, when you see some people, You get angry, kamam, krotham will develop, and some people you love them, some people you hate them. All this is due to the contact with the Aparaprakriti. Aparaprakriti does all these things. So what Krishna is saying to us, you see, that verse is very important. Mai asakta manapartha yogam yunjan mada ashraya asamshayam samagrammam yatha jnasasi tat shruno. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, I'll tell you the secret of exuding spiritual life. Saying that, he mentioned that verse there. So that means these two states. Dhyanam means you are in touch with the Paraprakriti. Uttana Dasha means you are in touch with the Aparaprakriti. Uttana Dasha means woken up from the Dhyanam state. Uttanam, woken up from that. So, and in both states, he is staying in the same steady realized state. Both in the realized state, in the Samadhi state, in the Dhyanam state, as well as in the Uttana state also. So, Yadajnasi Dachanam. So, all these things are there in the 7th chapter when we discussed, we spoke about that, isn't it? That's not our topic here. What we are trying to talk about here is this word is Shraddha. Properly understanding the word Shraddha. So, this Shraddha is the most important word in the spiritual field, Adhyatma Shastram. In the spiritual Shastram, Adhyatma Shastram, this Shraddha is the most important word. In fact, to tell you the truth, in Rigvedam, there is a Suktam, a series of hymns, which is called Shraddha Suktam. Brahmanas recite that, Shraddha Suktam. Just to develop Shraddha inside. So, Shraddha has got a personified form. Shraddha Devi, she is called. Some devotees have got named Shraddha, as far as I know. Shraddha, whether she knows or not, I don't know what she understands about that word, but they have the name Shraddha because Shraddha has a personified form. In the Bhagavatam, you will see that in the 4th canto that Dashaprajapati's family was discussed, there you will find this word Shraddha. So, Shraddha as a personified form, glorifying her to give Shraddha to me. That's that Shraddha Suktam. Shraddha Suktam it's called. Because that Shraddha is responsible for knowledge of the self, self-realization. Krishna has spoken that. So, when our chittam, which is going outside in the world, normally, which is always outside, when it starts turning inward, antarmukhatvam happens, that chittam, antarmukham chittam, the chittam which is going outside in the world, bahirmukham, that becomes antarmukham and then it becomes Shraddha. That is how Shraddha grows in a person. This you will notice, if you are a little bit careful, you can see this. Say for example, somebody has come to Bhakti Yoga process and he has, say, initially he took spiritual life very seriously. He did everything what he has been told, to chant the holy name, to make prasadam, distribute prasadam, and going on Harinam, and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Initially he does everything, all what he has been told. But if in course of time, if he has done that properly for some time, many years, about 10 years, 15, depends on the person's vasana inside. If there is not a lot of bad vasanas inside, very soon you will see that person, his Shraddha developing inside, and it will become Andarmukhatvam. Andarmukhatvam means inward looking, will happen to that person. That means he will slowly start seeing spiritual life is a lot more than what I thought about it before. This realization will come to him. Initially, he in the steam, he'll do everything what he has been told. I'm just talking about an ordinary person who has come to spiritual life. He has been told and he got some association with the devotees, and devotees have told him that this is all we have to do like this, and he learns everything in the beginning, first 2 years, 3 years. And then he picks up so many things about deity worship, and he reads Bhagavatam, but it's not making any sense to him much. When he's read a lot of stories, other things. Bhagavad Gita also he reads, and he picks up something here and there. But otherwise, it's an unknown entity for him. Still, he has not made actual proper contact with the Shastram yet. But you'll notice one thing. If he's doing all these things seriously, which means that he's genuine and sincerely doing this sadhana seriously, if he's doing it, and if his prarabdham and his vasanas is not too strong, very soon you will see that he will start becoming inward looking. He'll become a little bit more conscious that spiritual life have to be a little bit more deeply absorbed to understand things better, and he will become a very andarmukhatvam will definitely happen to him. And that is when you can see that that person has got Shraddha is growing in him. Shraddha is developing in that person. This is common thing. You can observe this in people. Some people, what happens is they have such heavy prarabdham that whole life they are battling with their sadhana and spiritual life together. On the one side they are battling with the family life, the other side they are battling with the spiritual life. So it's a whole life is a battle. It's not getting anywhere. And they are always thinking that why it's not working, why that's not working. How will it work? Because one side there is a prarabdha vasana. Prarabdham is also in the form of vasana. Prarabdha vasana is giving problem. And then you have understood wrong things also. Because you're always thought, due to association with other people, they have injected this into your mind that I have to do all these things to become spiritually advanced. And a lot of things has gone into my head in that way. And I'm going full steam in that way. And after a while you get tired. How long can you go? So take a long time. And plus the vasanas like, I want recognition in the world, name and fame and followers and money and all sorts of things. All that is dragging you down, not allowing you to go inwards what Krishna is talking about. But some people, some devotees who are a little bit fortunate, who didn't have that such prarabdham in them for recognition, fame, name and followers and money and all that, they're fortunate enough to come out of it. And they become more internal, inward, able to see spiritual life from a different angle, in the proper way. That's a one step ahead of those who are still looking for the recognition or fame or whatever that is, isn't it? So, only then you are looking into your own identity, who you are. Swarupa Siddhi. Swarupam, you are start looking. Because... that means up to this point in time you are not giving any attention to the self. You are only giving attention to the world. Only at this point you have started slowly your attention turning, started turning towards the self. Swarupam. Swarupam. And that one particular thing is inside us. Only then, at the moment, you can only imagine that, isn't it? Imagine that. And then you start looking at it a little bit more seriously. That means that awareness or consciousness or that living force inside, Atma, whichever way you address that, that somehow or the other, a little bit of energy is building up inside for that purpose. That means the Chit Shakti, which has been going in the form of mind, towards sense objects and sense gratification, that is given up that. Everything is sense gratification in this world. You have to know that. Huh? That including all these things, if you are looking for name or fame, or money, or followers, or anything, whatever you do in this world outside is sense gratification. That's how Shastram sees that. Shastram is saying, if that Shraddha, that thing has left that, and it has gone inwards, and it is now started inquiring about the self, my swarupam, consciousness, awareness, bodham, whichever way you call it. And if I started inquiring, what is it? And that shakti, that power, if it does that, it's called Shraddha. Otherwise, it's not. Not Shraddha. So we'll have a break.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam ശ്രേയകൈതവ ചന്ദ്രികാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുദിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാപ്നാസ്വനം വരം വിജയദേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം. नानामकारि बहुधा निजसर्वशक्ति स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागाः तृणारभिषुनी चेना सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन नृतनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदा भक्तिरहै दुहित्वयि ददनोजकिङ्करं पतितामं शमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूले सदृशं चिन्तयाम् नयनं गलदश्रुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगैर्निजितं गदा वपुः तव नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायितं शून्यायुधं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे न मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां पिनष्टु माम् अदर्शनाम् अर्महदां करोतु वाम् यथा तथा वा विदधा दुलम्बडो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु न एव नापरा अर्जुन उवाच यशास्त्रविधिमुत्सृज्य यजन्ते श्रद्धयान्युधा तेषां निष्ठा तु का कृष्ण सत्वम् आहो रजस्तमाः सो वेन् दट् Shraddha develops in a person, at that point when it goes outside, when the Shraddha becomes Bahirmukham, it is called Chittam, isn't it? When the Shraddha becomes Bahirmukham, it is called Chittam. So here Krishna is using that word Shraddha in two ways. For example, in the Sahasranamam, thousand names, Lalita Devi Sahasranam, Lalita Sahasranam, it says, it calls it as Jada Shakti and Chit Shakti. That is how it is addressed. Chit Shakti is Shraddha. Jada Shakti is the energy flowing outwardly in the world. Chit Shakti Chedana Rupam Jada Shakti Jadalmiga, says the words in the Sahasranam, Lalita Sahasranam. Chit Shakti Chedana Rupam Jada Shakti Jadalmiga, which means Chit Shakti is in the form of spiritual. It is spiritual. Chedana Rupam. It is the living force inside Chit Shakti. Jada Shakti Jadalmiga. Jada Shakti, that is Bahirmukhatvam, that Shraddha which has gone outside, it is Jadalmiga. It is centered around all the Jadam, dead matter. Dead matter. So, you can see that how it changes, this Chit Shakti, how it changes outside. When it goes outside, it turns into man and woman first. Is it not? Man and woman is not inside. In Chit Shakti, there is no man, there is no woman. See that? Chit Shakti, in the form of Chit Shakti, it's not man-woman. When it has come out, it has become man and woman. We start seeing everything in that man and woman. What else? When it is inside as Chit Shakti, it has no liking, disliking, or friend and foe, friend and enemy. When it comes out as Jada Shakti outside, it has developed into friend, enemy, all these things. In pure spiritual nature, you have no friend or enemy. It's Chit Shakti it is. Chitta it is. But when it becomes Chittam, it has turned out into be friend, enemy. These things. Or people whom you like and whom you don't like. In other words, any time, whenever you are experiencing that force through ragam dvesham, through raga dvesham, or if it is mixed with raga dvesham, you can say it is jada shakti. It is jada shakti. And the same thing when it goes inwards and it becomes andhamukham, inward looking, that chit shakti. Chintihi tat padartha lakshyartham chidegi rasarubini.
that Chaitanya Vastu, that Andharmukham, when it becomes and Shraddha goes there, and our attention goes there, that's called Shraddha. It is called Shraddha. So that is why you will see in the Devi Bhagavatam this mentioning, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Shraddharubena Samstheda Namastase 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 Namo Nama. You see, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Shraddharubena Samstheda. In the form of Shraddha, she has manifested. Therefore, surrendering, paying your respects to her. So, when it comes out, what happens? We say, oh, she, it's a woman, it's a man. The same Chit Shakti, when it comes out, he calls it as man and woman, isn't it? And when you look inwards, only Chit Shakti is there. There is no man, woman. Male, female doesn't exist in the Chit Shakti. But that Chit Shakti, when it came out, its only observation is in the form of man or woman. Man or woman. So, so, when it goes inside, it goes away. When it comes out, it picks up all the yagadvesham from there. So, in another instance, you can see that even when that Chit Shakti comes out, Upanishad says this. I think it is in the Shedashadra Upanishad, it mentions that when it starts outside, when there is no ragadvesham, when there is no kamam krodham, there is no kartrutva boktrutvam, the same Chit Shakti can see outside no man, no woman, and no kumaran, young boy, no kumari, young girl, and no older person either, young person or older person. None of these things exist anymore when that Chit Shakti comes out in the pure form. Because it cannot exist. That means you are not anymore seeing the body. That's what it is. Isn't it? Tvam stri, tvam puman, natum kumara, kumari. Upanishad says that. The Rishi is saying to us in the Upanishads. And there what is happening? Rishi is saying, addressing Krishna, you are that. Then you are at that time, you yourself are the woman, you yourself are the man, you are the young man, young boy or young girl, and you yourself are the older person walking, holding on to the stick, is also you. That you have to read that Upanishad, you will understand how the Rishi is seeing it. Rishis who have realized this, they are saying this, Tvam Stri, Tvam Stri, Tvam Pumana, Tvam Kumara Kumari, Vishyodo Mukaha. When the Upanishad Rishi is saying here, you yourself, that means addressing Antaryami, saying this, Antaryami yourself is coming out, because he is coming out now and he is experiencing that, not anymore as boy, girl, man, woman, young man, older person. And he is saying, even the older person, when he is walking with the stick, that's also you. You are not different from that. That's only a temporary manifestation there. So what does it mean? It means that the mind is gone. There is no mind anymore operating. If the mind is operating, then you will see as boy or girl, man or woman. And ragadvesham is there, in other words. Then all the other things will be there. Ragadvesham will be there, mind is there, and kamam, krodham, anger, and other things will come, and that means mind is operating. And there is no Shraddha there. What there present is there? Chittam is present there. So it's a completely different world inside and outside. This inside world is spiritual life. Outside world is all based on the, based on what you experience through the senses and the mind. So there is no mind there. And similarly, the man, woman goes away. And this person I like, this person I don't like, that goes away. Isn't it? That won't go otherwise. It'll always be there, haunting us. Somebody is good, somebody is bad, somebody is right, somebody is wrong. All these things will be there. And what else? To those whom we like, we'll have ragam towards them, attachment. To whom we don't like, we'll have dvesham, hate towards them. So, and to some people, we will act with them, speciality. some people are higher, some people are lower. These thoughts will come. We'll start putting people in different blocks. Somebody will consider, oh, he is higher, and somebody is lower. And some people are good, and some people are bad. These things all come from that. That is why Krishna said to Uddhava, guna dosha drishir dosham, isn't it? In Bhagavatam, you remember? That guna dosha drishir dosham upayastu varjidaha. Upayam. Both you have to give up, which means seeing good and bad itself is bad, but seeing, not seeing good and bad is good. That's how Krishna puts it. Guna dosha drishir dosham upayam. He says, Uddhava asked this question, what is good and what is bad? That's when Krishna answered that question. First, Krishna gave a lot of things, said a list. He gave it to Uddhava. This is this, this is good, this is bad, like that. And after that, and like this, this, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. Like a lot of things he spoke. And finally, Krishna says to him, I'll tell you one big secret, he says to Uddhava. Uddhava asked him, what is that secret, Krishna? He says to him. Krishna says to Uddhava, it's like this, this thing, looking at something as good and bad itself is bad. And not looking at anything with good and bad is good. That's how he concluded that chapter. You remember that? In the Bhagavatam. So, after giving all instructions to Uddhava, Krishna says to him that, till we become that perfection comes to us, this gunam dosham is necessary. Now, don't do that straight away, today. Krishna says like this, so there is no good and bad, everything is same. No, it's not like that. Till the perfection comes. When perfection comes, it is at that time that this good and bad goes away. So, it cannot give it up, because till our controlled senses comes under control, till we have become control of our senses and the mind, and when our attention has completely gone away from the body and the mind, and it has turned fully towards the soul, we require this gunam dosham. Good and bad, we require. These things are spoken on a very higher level. Which one? What Krishna told Uddhava, because Ekadasha Skandam is more or less spoken about a person in a realized state. In a realized state. In Vyavaharam, this is necessary. Which one? This gunam dosham, all this is necessary in Vyavaharam. Suppose, in Vyavaharam state, if you say that, oh, I won't look into gunam dosham and all that, I'll follow Krishna, what Krishna says. And suppose from inside him, the ajnanam has not gone away, then he will fall. Then he will fall. That's what will happen. He won't realize the truth. Suppose this, that's why when you study Ekadasha Skandam, you got to be careful about it. To whom is it addressed to? To whom is it all pointing at? It's pointing at that person who has realized the self to him, is that instruction. It will help you if you reach closer to that self-realization. That means, suppose your attention has completely gone away from the world and you have become very serious in spiritual life. That means no interest in this world whatsoever. All attention is in the self. If you are in that state, then these instructions will help. But those who are still conducting Vyavaharam in this world, very much attached to family, home, friends, society and all that, there you can't apply that. That it won't work. Because what will happen is you will fall. You will never become a realized soul. So, there is only a very difference of a silver thread there between these two. So, if you look into Bhagavatam, in the Shruti Gita, there is a verse about that. It's an amazing verse it is. If you look into that 87th chapter in the 10th canto, Shruti Gita. Shruti Gita says there, we haven't discussed that yet, because we didn't get time. 87. 36 10 87 36 വിഭിചരതി ക്വച ക്വച മൃഷ നതഥോ ഭയയുക് വ്യവഹൃതയേ വികൽപമിഷിതോ അന്ധപരംപരയ ഭ്രമയതി ഭാരതീത ഉരുവൃത്തിഭി ഉൽക്കജഠാൻ സത ഇദമുത്ഥിതം സതിതി ചേന്നനു തർക്കഹ തം വ്യഭിചരതി ക്വച ക്വച മൃഷ ന തഥോ ഭയയുക് വ്യവഹൃതയേ വികൽപമിഷിതോന്ധപരംപരയ ഭ്രമയതി ഭാരതീത ഉരു വൃത്തിവിരുദ്ധജഠാൻ ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് സെയിം ഇൻ ദി പരീക്ഷിത് മഹാരാജ് വാസ് ആസ്കിംഗ് ദിസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് എവ്രിതിങ് ഹസ് കം ഫ്രം ബ്രഹ്മം എവ്രിതിങ് ഹസ് കം ഫ്രം ബ്രഹ്മം ബട്ട് ഇഫ് യു സേ എവ്രിതിങ് ഇസ് ബ്രഹ്മം 50% ഇസ് കറക്റ്റ് 50% ഇസ് റോങ് if you say like that, if everything is Brahman. Because in Anubhuti, in your realization, in Anubhuti, if it has come to you that everything is Brahman, it is perfect, 100%. But since you are only in the spiritual path, you have not realized the truth yet. Therefore, that's what that verse is saying, 50% you are correct. It's Brahman, because you are in the path of spiritual life. But 50% you are not there yet. You are still in the process of practicing it, isn't it? You haven't got it yet. 50% you have got it, but 50% you haven't got it. The realization hasn't happened to him. So, therefore, when you are in that state, in your realized state, this will be true. This realization as Brahman is true. Otherwise, it can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous. So, what does that mean? It means that this realization, you should not apply in Vyavaharam. It's only for your internal realization. Only inside you can use this knowledge that Aham Brahmasmi. You can use that knowledge, realization, if you have got it, you can use it for your internal activities, spiritual activities in other words, not for external. In Vyavaharam you can't use it. You can't use it. So it should not come into Vyavaharam, because you have to remember this very important. Who instructs this? Vasishtha says this to Lord Ramachandra. You will see in the Yoga Vasishtham, he says, Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, this knowledge you can utilize it and say, hey Rama, he says, Bhavadvaitam sada kuriyad. In bhavam, that means in your understanding you can have that. Kriyadvaitam na karhichit. In kriyadvaitam, you cannot use it. These three things we spoke in the Bhagavatam, you remember? In the seventh canto. Bhavadvaitam, kriyadvaitam, dravyadvaitam. Three things. How to develop, Narada Maharshi talks to Yudhishthira. How to develop that understanding. Bhavadvaitam, Dravyadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam. How to see Krishna's presence in everything. In order to have that happen, Krishna mentions there that Dravyadvaitam means to know that everything is Krishna's property, to realize and live in that understanding. Kriyadvaitam means that all that is happening through this body, whatever karma is coming through, everything is Antaryami, present inside, is conducting that through this body and the mind. That is Kriyadvaitam. In other words, Krishna is operating through this body. Finally, Bhavadvaitam. Bhavadvaitam is the most difficult thing of all the three. So, Bhavadvaitam is only for internal realization. It's not for applying into the Vyavaharam. You should never do that. That is what Vasishtha says this to Ramachandra. He says to him, Bhavadvaitam sada kuryat. That in your bhavam, in your understanding, always that realization that I am Atma, Antaryami, inside, it's me, Antaryami inside. That is Bhavadvaitam sada kuryat. Krivaha kriyadvaitam na karhichit. Don't bring that knowledge into your dealings with the world, in your transactions or vyavaharam in this world, and make it difficult. In other words, if you otherwise what will happen is, I'll say that, oh, all your bank account is mine as well, I can spend your money. This will happen. This is Kriyadvaitam. If you bring the this understanding into that. Because then you are saying, oh, everything is Krishna's property, isn't it? So why you are asking me when I'm taking something? This will come. So anybody can do anything then. That will situation happen. So inside us, we have our vasana inside us, isn't it? And we have our weaknesses, daurbalyam, weaknesses inside us. And if we have ragadvesham inside, then then it cannot be done. So bhavadvaidam is only possible when you are completely released, freed from this ragadvesham and also from this vasanas. When all this is gone, that is why realized souls, for them, bhavadvaidam in vyavaharam is also not is not difficult. They will have it. Bhavadvaidam, even in the vyavaharam, they will have it. Till then, for others, kriyadvaidam and dravyadvaidam, one can develop. But bhavadvaidam, not possible. Bhavadvaidam is not possible. These three things is explained in the 7th canto, in the 15th or 14th chapter, I can't remember, where Sadajara Varnana, where Yudhishthira Maharaj is getting instructed by Sri Narada Maharshi. He says these things. So, for example, you can see, now the modern world, for example, caste is rejected, isn't it? In India, if you you're not allowed to ask for caste, they'll get upset. And religion you should not ask, caste you should not ask, all these things they say, isn't it? And we say it is not there, but that is only possible for realized souls. You know, government instituted this because of the situation in India, what was developing. The caste system got degraded and people started exploiting each other. And therefore the government said that you should not have any more caste. You should not ask the caste of anybody, isn't it? And religion also. Religion, when they take the census, they ask still, what is the caste? But in the normal thing, they say that you should not ask the caste, you should not ask the religion and all that. But that's only possible, only when you are self-realized. For jnanis, there is no caste. Because they are not operate based on the body. What I'm saying this is, even today, if marriages are arranged in India, they still do consult the caste. After talking about all these things, they'll still go with that, isn't it? So this seeing everything as one in the spiritual platform, it's only for the jnani, for the self-realized soul. You can't impose that on an ordinary people in this world. That's not possible. That's the point I'm trying to say. So when the government says this, oh, we have to be, everybody has to be equal, it won't happen. No matter how hard you try, it won't work out in that way, isn't it? So if the people have come to that state, then it can happen. That's why. So what happens that is that because that freedom has come, that government told like this, so that freedom has come, now you can marry whomever you like, and because you can marry whomever you like, that freedom has been given, isn't it? So according to your vasana, then you will apply these things in the wrong place. So what Shastram is trying to tell us is that our vasana, and in the plane of our vasanas, and the plane of our mind, and in the plane of the prakriti, material nature, you should be tied down. That is the Vedic way of looking at it. That in whichever field you are born, or your state of mind is, or whichever field your vasanas are, or whichever field your material nature has put you into, that tie you down. You should tie yourself down in that plane itself very strongly, and tie you down there, because there you cannot have any freedom. You can't have any freedom. Only if you do like that, you can go beyond that plane. You can go beyond that plane. And you will become completely released from that. And that's a track that the rishis are talking to us. Remember, we were talking about Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha's case, main objection, Lord Buddha, was this problem. What Lord Buddha, I'm talking about Lord Buddha, not himself, but the followers, what they did. They rejected Varnashrama Dharma. They didn't accept Varnashrama Dharma. And they gave sannyasam to everybody. So the whole place is full of sannyasis, but all with different vasanas. So you can imagine what happens. That the lazy ones in them, they didn't want to do any work. I'm a sannyasi, give me food. It went in that direction. That is why all the Buddha Viharams got filled with this kind of sannyasis. And eventually it became a flop. And that is why, but in Vedic system, they say, before you come to sannyasam state, have you gone through the other three ashram, brahmachari, grastham, vanaprastham? Have you had the right vasanas inside so that when you take to the sannyasa ashram, you don't fall from there again? So all these considerations were not taken into account. Varnashrama Dharma was rejected by them. Buddhism followed like that. And therefore, we have to reject them because they are not accepting Varnashrama Dharma. They are not accepting the authority of the Vedam. So therefore, the split happened there. So they are telling us that you have to remain within that track. So just like the train, when it goes on the track, there is a station. When it comes to the station, it will stop. And its path is already defined where the train will go. If suppose it doesn't happen like that, it will go in all directions. There is no track for that, isn't it? So dharmam is that for that purpose. Dharmam is telling us that go in this track. So, so if you do like that, Krishna's point is that this will lead into realizing Krishna in everything. Realizing Krishna in everything. And that realization will be definitely personal, individual. It cannot be a social thing. It has to be on an individual level. Only it will happen. This is the important message. Again and again, Sanatana Dharma is Vyakti Nishtam, individual based. It's not Samuha Nishtam, society based. In many other religions, it's more society based, isn't it? It's a group together praying, a group together doing things all the time. And they give importance to that. But in Sanatana Dharma, gone a step further than that to point out to us that when you do it together, these problems will come from that. They have found out this, the rishis. That so, if one person has to go very high spiritually, then he has to go in this individual way. That's the only way he will escape from here. He will escape from here, not otherwise. That's the important point, what it comes out. That is why Krishna is stressing that point more. Shastra Vidhana Uktam Karmam Kartam Iharkasi. You know, he never accepted this. Then Krishna followed exactly what the rishis have spoken. Krishna's point is, rishis all were individual and they followed their individual path. When Ramachandra went to the forest, he saw, when he was in the forest, he says to Sita Devi, this gives me an opportunity to see all the individual rishis. Agastya, Bharadwaj, and Bharadwaj, Kanu Maharshi, and many others who are present in the forest. And Ramachandra goes and discusses with each one of them individually. He didn't say, oh, you all come together, we'll have a common meeting together. No. He took pleasure in seeing them individually and discussing with them about self-realization. Bharadwaj, all separate. So there's something important there. When he met Bharadwaja Maharshi, while going to the Chitragudam, on the way from Ayodhya, he comes, crosses the river and stayed at Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram that night. So Bharadwaja Maharshi looked after him very well, but nothing was given opulent things. Everything very simple, fruits, roots and things like that, what's collected in the forest. Bharadwaja Maharshi gave everything so simple to Sri Ramachandra, Lakshmana and Sita Devi. They ate everything very simple. And they slept very simple. And they crossed the river next day. And they continued to Chitrakuta. This was on the way to the, when they left Ayodhya in their 14 years in the forest. After Ravana was killed, the same Ramachandra, Sita Devi and Lakshmana is coming back to Ayodhya. Again, they are coming through Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram. When they go to Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram, Bharadwaja Maharshi created an amazing arrangement to receive them. And the demigods were invited to serve the prasadam, and the comforts were so great, it was even higher than the heavenly planets. Bharadwaja Maharshi, out of his yogic power, created that. So Lakshmana is asking at that time this question: when we were coming first time, you gave us such simple facilities. Now we are going back to Ayodhya, you are offering all these great facilities. Why? He says to him. Bharadwaja Maharshi answers that nicely. He says to them, Avastha Pujyade Rama Shariram Nadu Pujyade. In other words, when you are coming, you are a prince. And for a prince, you are going to the forest. And that was your state. I offered accordingly what you must have. Now you are going back to Ayodhya and you are going to be the emperor of Ayodhya. That's the Chakravarti there, isn't it? And you are a great personality now, with Sita Devi is the queen and you are the king. And so I have to honor you in that way, says Bharadwaj. And accordingly I have arranged these facilities for you. So that's how he said. The important point to remember that is that avastha is more important, not the what state you are, but what position you are. Avastha Pujyade Rama, he says to him. So here, the Krishna is saying here also that the that this track that is laid out based on the based on the person's knowledge, realization, avastha. According to the avastha, it changes. Avastha means the state where he is, isn't it? And that avastha is very much individual. Vyaktinishtam it is. And a person who has come to that state, for him, this material world doesn't exist. That means, material world means ragadvesham. And this difference, man, woman, all these things will go away from him. That is the last thing to go. Which one? The man, woman thing. That's the last thing to leave. Ragadvesham goes away, kartrutva bhoktrutvam goes away, and finally, stri purusha, that difference also goes away. Then, whatever he is looking at the world, not anymore through the forms and the names, completely freed from all other attachments. The thing is that now you may say, oh, because he is like that, can he go and get marry anybody in this world? Only thing is, he won't find anybody to get married to him. That's what will happen. Do you understand that, what I'm saying? From the spiritual side, not from the other way, that he has come to that state that there is no man, woman for him anymore. So we may say that, oh, if it is like that, if you are in the Ajnani state, you will say, oh, now he can get married to anybody, isn't it? There is no restriction. The point is, in that state, he won't be able to get married to anybody. Even that thing is over for him, because he has gone beyond the... Because marriage is always when there is male-female, isn't it? That is also gone beyond than that. So, that is what Krishna is talking about here. So, in one instance, somebody asked this question, that if everything is Brahman, we are talking about this problem with this Bhavadvaidam and the knowledge related to that. If everything is Brahman, how come I am getting headache? He said, he asked this question, isn't it? So, people will ask all these questions. You have to be careful about them. Such people who are asking that. So the answer this Mahatma gave him, suppose you have realized that everything is Brahman, then Brahman doesn't have a head. To have headache, you have to have a head, isn't it, first. But Brahman, that means you have not realized Brahman. If you have realized Brahman, then there cannot be any headache. He said, because there is no head there. Head and tail and all is because of the bodily identity. So if there is no head, how can the pain come for the head? So this anubhuti or realization is not based on the material understanding. There, the world itself is finished. Alokam pradivadyada, Bhagavadam says. Alokam pradivadyada. There, the world itself disappears. Dvaidam goes away. Dvandvam goes away. And that power which takes us to that state, is called Shraddha. The Shraddha takes us to up to that state. And it is present in everyone in a hidden form. It lies in everybody. And what the spiritual master or the acharya has to do is to wake up that Shraddha in a person. That is the important thing. Shraddha in the person. So we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.